The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Gabe from Thinking Outside the Long Box, and this podcast would not exist without the help of our Patreon supporters. Chad, Ryan, Derek, Doyle, Devin, Taylor, Jason, and Steve, thank you guys so much for participating with us at patreon.com/TOTLB. You have no idea how amazing it feels that you guys support our show. We want everybody to participate with us, so be sure to go to patreon.com/TOTLB and help us out so that you too can be added to the roles of people that support the best goddamn pop culture podcast called Thinking Outside the Long Box in the world.
What the hell is this sausage party? It's Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan, John, and Gabe.
We get checks?
One,
what?
Two,
wow, you, because you're colored.
Yeah.
No, you give us a check.
Yeah, that's true.
That's how that works.
It's a virtual check.
It's a virtual check?
On the first.
Does it go into my bank account? I don't care what kind of check it is, as long as I get money.
I don't think it goes into our bank account until after a few steps.
Oh.
You have to, like, click some buttons.
Patreon takes its cut.
Yeah.
They don't take their cut until I put it into the bank account, bitches.
Bitches.
Oh, hey, we're recording, by the way.
Oh, right now?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
That's some sweet, non-exciting Patreon talk.
Yeah, definitely cut the Patreon talk out.
I doubt it.
Patreon no, taking a shit.
I did cut Dom talking about his job situation at Hall of Justice, so.
Are we going to do
it? He doesn't like that.
Should I do an intro?
Oh, you must have missed it.
Oh, yeah.
We're still recording. You might as well just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, right. We'll do an intro later. We're just recording.
Oh, okay. Fine. Okay.
The intro after the intro.
I know.
So they're going to hear us talking about an intro. They won't hear it.
Yeah, that's how jokes work in our fucking universe, in the TOTLB universe.
It is a very non-linear moment.
You hear the punchline way before the joke.
Timey-wimey, bitch.
Oh, man. So, how's everybody?
Good. I'm fucking exhausted.
I feel weird because I didn't do an intro, so. Okay. Yeah, we got to do this part. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 81 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
I'm Doyle.
I'm Tib.
I'm Juan.
That is the third time we've done that already today. Would you like to know more? Go to patreon.com/TOTLB. Join us on Patreon. We would love to have you watch our ridiculous before the episode videos.
It was good.
Today we talked about Lost in Space, which past this point we will not talk about anymore on the show. So be sure to go to Patreon and check that out.
I liked your "Would you like to know more?"
Would you like to know more? Starship Troopers. Yeah.
Would you like to know more? Become
arachnids.
Arachnids.
That's a fucking great movie.
Yeah, it is.
Joining the military.
How that hasn't been a pop culture classic yet is totally beyond me.
Because the science is so off.
It's fucking amazing.
Who cares?
They shot down an asteroid with butt plasma. Somehow that doesn't even travel like even close to the speed of light.
But it's powerful.
Arachnids pissed off like 80 million years ago.
Oh, man.
Look, man.
Before we were even a culture, they're like, those humans are going to suck. Better put them in place before they even become a species.
Wow.
They got good math, though, to aim that shit.
We know Doyle doesn't like Starship Troopers.
Actually, I love the book. The movie's pretty good, too.
he just hates...
How many fucking movies that shit got? There's like six Star
Trek
Troopers
movies. Yeah, makes no
but like the last four, one. Like the last four of them... Like the last four of them are animated, though.
No, like...
There's like another four that are... I've seen like three that are...
Yeah, there's...
Oh, there's like four or five of them that are animated.
Oh, shit. Jeez.
There's a shitload of Starship Troopers out there.
There's like three or four that are live action.
I don't think anyone wanted to know that much
more. Would you like to know no more? No, stop making movies.
People just want to see bugs get killed.
They also want to see boobs. Boobs and bugs.
Don't worry. It should be random and light. Someone made a mistake. Someone made a big goddamn mistake.
Wow.
I quote that movie. I've seen it quite a few times.
No, I couldn't tell. Right there.
I liked it when I was little.
Let's were you, be fair, were you were ever never little?
I think I was like close to 12 pounds when I was born.
That's was big. That's not little.
He was born this way.
He came out all like crapping in a bag and
came out with his trash bag.
He's all, "Mom, you're gonna want this."
Son of a shit. out of you, shit literally shitting in a bag.
Shit in the womb.
Where he got the bag, we do not know.
We think he may have made it.
The bag shit first.
All right, who brought notes today? I have notes.
I also have notes.
Start them up.
All right, so I did a ton of reading this week, but
I didn't do no fucking.
I also watched like several movies, and I mean, I got a lot of notes.
Let's go through them. Stop talking about them.
Well, no, I'm trying to organize it in my brain. So I'll talk about the movies I saw first. So first thing I saw, Murder on the Orient Express, the reboot of it with Kenneth Branagh and Johnny Depp and all those.
I heard it was bad.
So. It wasn't bad. It was really good. The problem is, I think that particular style of movie is just not something that people enjoy anymore.
But like one room.
Yeah, like
dialogue-driven.
Super dialogue-driven murder mystery. Well, see, and I love those. That, you know, but there's
that
no.
That also didn't go over that well.
Yeah, and there's no like punctuations of violence like there is in a Quentin Tarantino movie. It's literally just a straight up talking.
They don't have Samuel Jackson.
Dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
Made him suck my dick.
I loved it. I grew up watching like mystery on TV. Like my grandparents would force me to watch it. It was like this old PBS show. So this. Shut up. So there's a little bit of nostalgia factor to it, but I really enjoyed it. Looking on the internet, I am clearly the only person.
It didn't
that
look
enjoyed
good
it.
To me, so I didn't even venture into it.
I wanted to see it, but like it was one of those things where everything I saw about it was terrible, so I got dissuaded.
If you like just kind of honestly, if you liked the pop culture classic this time, probably would dig Murder on the Orient Express.
I think I did. It's been so long and I didn't realize that I watched the wrong pop culture classic, so I watched Conan.
So you're prepared for next episode. let's see. I also watched... I'm trying to find the movies. There it is. We went and watched Peter Rabbit with Hannah. Movie was funny as shit. Like, just...
You didn't get in an uproar over the bullying scene?
It's not bullying. Oh. It's that he makes fun of people with allergies.
Well, that's bullying.
And literally breaks the fourth wall to say, we know that allergies aren't a joke. Don't send me any letters. He says that to the audience, and people are still like, hey, you shouldn't make fun of people. They have allergies. It's like...
Allergy shaming, man.
Yeah,
bro. That's the world we live in.
My life is
the world
shaming
we live
everybody
in, bro.
For all of their flaws, because that's all anybody has ever done to me.
Oh, I love your flaws, baby.
That's a lie.
It's too many of them. Flaws, folds.
But...
Folds. Jesus.
Ouch.
Yeah. But it was fun. It was really, really nice. Funny. There was.
I'm sure Johnny would enjoy it.
Johnny will love it. Hannah immediately wanted a rabbit. Okay. Mel told her she couldn't have a rabbit because Mel wants a goat and Mel can't have a goat.
Goats are dicks, by the way.
Pretty petty.
Keep that door shut.
Pretty petty.
So Hannah asked Mel, why can't you have a goat? And Mel said, because I told Dad he can't have chickens, and Dad said if he can't have chickens, I can't have a goat.
Like, the honest family just doesn't resent me.
Yeah.
Fucking hate you.
So the next day I go to pick up Hannah from school. Hannah gets into the backseat of the car and she goes, hey, you know what, Dad? It's okay if you have chickens. I was like, what? She's all, it's totally fine if you have chickens. And so I asked Mel like that evening, I was like, why does Hannah think I can have chickens? Like, we can't have chickens. We don't have time for it. She's all, well, she wants a rabbit. And I said she can't have a rabbit unless I can have a goat. And I can't have a goat unless you can have chickens. So she just decided you can have chickens.
She's like, fuck it, I'm making this executive decision.
Yeah, as the leader.
We need chickens.
As the 6-year-old leader of this family, we will be having all of these animals.
Yes, so. We can.
Can you even have chickens here?
Yeah.
Like, chickens legally,
are,
can you?
Chickens yeah. are pretty easy.
I don't know if I can have goats. Chickens in where I live.
You can have, well, part of it's where we live in town, too.
Right.
But we can
have an HOA. I have a pretty strict HOA, yeah. too, so I don't
I've
know
seen
if
your,
I can have
your
chickens.
Neighborhood and my neighborhood, I can tell why they don't want chickens in your neighborhood.
I want chickens, though. Brown. I do want chickens.
This part of Greeley is pretty brown. I don't think we can have roosters, though.
Yeah, roosters aren't.
And you don't need roosters, cows. Though, for no. to make yeah. eggs, if that's yeah. all you're doing.
I think you actually do need one.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Chickens lay eggs.
I thought the rooster had to be there to like prompt them to lay eggs.
I think they do for a small part of the year or something, but they don't necessarily have to be there
all
the time.
So there's a lot of studies. Some say that the temperature has a lot to do with how many eggs and shit they lay. And I don't know why the fuck we're talking about that on this show, but...
Let's look it up.
Well, I'm thinking this episode, thinking outside the farmhouse. We talk about chickens.
I do want chickens, though.
And their egg-laying habits. Cool. Anyway,
that's why people listen to this show, is because every once in a while, it turns into talking about chickens.
Somebody's listening to the show right now going, did not know that. Now I know.
That's super weird.
If any of you guys have chickens, tell us about it.
There's probably somebody out there that has chickens.
No, we should. It would be nice to know if you need a rooster to have chickens.
And then we will call you Chicken Fucker from now on.
Oh, wow. Okay. Like to know about. No.
Chicken Fucker.
And nobody's going to say anything to us now.
It's cool. It's a name.
I mean, so the last movie I watched this weekend, or these last couple weeks, is probably like the big thing that everybody's going to talk about.
Forever Wakanda?
Forever Wakanda. Black Panther.
Wakanda forever. Yes,
we're black and we're on a waterfall, people.
Hens don't need a rooster in order to lay eggs. Without a rooster, the eggs are infertile, so won't develop into young chicks. There you go. So they lay eggs no matter what. There's
nothing
just no
more
babies.
Gross than cracking open an egg for breakfast and finding a dead chicken fetus. Oh,
wow, now I'm super stoked we're talking about this.
And Tim's
dead fetuses.
How is it that I say, let's talk about Black Panther, and we're still fucking talking about chickens? Like, how does that happen?
Black people like chicken?
Oh, wow.
They do, though.
Wow.
Who doesn't like fried chicken?
But do Africans?
Everybody likes.
Do Africans like waffles. Fried chicken?
What's that?
Do Africans like fried chicken? I don't know.
Dude.
Well, because I'm guessing Maxim when you Beatty say black said, people, that doesn't, I mean, that doesn't encompass every
literally
black person
all
on Earth.
People like chicken.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
except for like vegetarians
part
and stuff.
Cuisine.
Even then, if you snuck a piece of fried chicken in there, they're going to enjoy it.
Most
probably shitting themselves afterwards.
Be like, bring me a trash bag.
Are we bringing them ketchup?
Bring me chicken and ketchup.
Okay, Black Panther for sure.
Okay, so we all saw it, correct?
Yeah.
I saw it in the worst quality in the world, but yeah.
I saw it in the most uncomfortable position in the world.
That was my fault.
Fucking front row center.
That was my fault. I had a boner and he was sitting on my lap.
And he would see you.
Wow. No.
It was awesome.
That would have been comfortable for him.
Doyle.
For me, yeah, sure.
Doyle asked if we wanted to go, and Mel and I went with him, and we literally sat in the front row.
You're fucking old as fucking shit, so we couldn't go at 9.
Dude, I go to work at 4 in the morning.
So what? Get over it.
Dude, I didn't want to fall asleep. Like, I didn't want to go to see Black Panther.
I'm
going to
put a crying baby behind this.
I think it was pretty action-packed. I understand why I went earlier, but I think you would have made it.
Yeah,
because it was pretty packed throughout the whole thing.
It was good. I probably would have made it, but
you had to sit in the front row.
Yeah,
well, you have to pick your seats in the luxe seating, and there was the only place where there was 3 seats in a row was where I picked that. Where I picked them.
Right.
But it also on the chart looked like it was in the back row, but it was not.
Oh, it was all reversed.
Dude, it was like
I hate it when that
what
happens.
What was crazy though is like. So I'm leaning back for the effect on the microphone. So you're leaning back in the big old luxe seats, and the screen is so fucking huge because it's like one of the big screens
right
on top of it.
I need to see when not that close.
So every time they go into the vibranium mine, like they do the dive into the vibranium mine, I'm all... like
that's a little intense
just
part
just
sure.
just yeah. focus on one thing just focus on one thing right. man there for that it was a little vomit inducing but in general I enjoyed the shit out of that movie. I kind of want to see it
good.
I kind of want to see it again from like the back of the movie theater.
I agree.
I've seen it twice now and I've seen it from mid row and like back row.
It's
yeah,
big.
Mostly from like, you know, from somebody's lap. That's how I get into movies for free.
Be like, suck your dick to go watch Black Panther.
Okay.
Okay.
Sold.
But yeah, I fucking like it. It was a good movie. It's a good fucking movie.
So my only problem with it is kind of slowly becoming my problem with almost all of the Marvel movies, they pick a theme, and instead of like just letting the theme be shown throughout the movie, they do this thing where they like literally tell you, like one of the characters will tell you over and over and over again. And so like with Killmonger, it was literally, I feel like black people are oppressed around the world, and I'm going to arm them using the weapons of Wakanda. Have him say that once, and then show that through action in the movie. Not have him say that once, and then show it through action, and then have him say it again, and then and show again. Some more action, and then have again. Him say it again, and again, and again. It's like, tell me once, tell me twice. I get it. I know exactly why Killmonger is trying to do what he wants to do. I don't need him to tell Claw and Black Panther and the tribal group and, like, you know, the
his friends
like, and then like
his dad
go back
him.
In time. We'll go back in time yeah. and talk to his dad about it, and like all the just the way they tell.
You don't need black people telling you they're oppressed. Is it, that what you're saying?
Okay, this is the, really this is
wow,
the,
yeah,
this
yeah.
is the problem with it, is it's hard to say that specifically about this movie because of how important the theme of right. the movie is. But in general, like, movie-going audiences have brains.
We don't need to be hammered with
it. I don't need to be hammered with it, right. no matter what it is. Like, they do it all the time in the Marvel movies. Like, Winter Soldier, we get it. He's sad and depressed and broken. You don't need to literally say words to me about how sad, depressed, and broken Winter Soldier is.
It usually comes across better if you don't say words.
Exactly. Like, movies work better if you show instead of telling, because it's a visual medium. Mm-hmm. That is my only problem with Black Panther, and what sucks about it is it's becoming like my only problem with Marvel movies, is they're just so ham-fisted in the storytelling sometimes that I think they lose the chance to just make a better movie out of it, because they're trying to squeeze in Killmonger saying...
Killmonger literally dies on that hill, too. Where
right,
like,
yeah.
No, fucking, I'm going to kill myself because black people are oppressed. Nah.
Yeah. It's like, we know. Like, have him say it once when he's, like, kind of delineating his plan to somebody, and then not say anything about it, like, so, like, you know, obliquely throughout the film. And that scene where he says, you know, the thing
take
about
me out to sea.
Yeah.
Bury me in the ocean.
Yeah. Would have been so much more powerful right. if he wouldn't have just been hammering it away vocally
I
through
agree.
The whole movie.
If he would have come, like, when he first enters the Wakandan, like, throne room.
Yeah.
That's the perfect time for him to state why he's there.
Why he's there.
And then, you know, he can then again say it when he dies, and that's...
And it's just like, man, that would have...
Well, there's no mystery to it anymore. I mean, right from when Killmonger... Yeah. Right when from the first time he speaks, he tells you his whole narrative. It's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Exactly like what you said. Like, by the end of it, when he pulls the knife out of his chest, I was pretty over it. I was like, yeah, black people, yeah, yeah. Like, let's go.
Like, it's...
It ends on that note, too, where he's like, black community center. Like, I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
See, and I feel like if he's just not hammering it home so hard, like, through the whole movie, vocally, it just makes the movie more powerful.
And you
don't
need to even hammer it vocally, like Wanda's saying.
They only ever establish Killmonger's, like, what he wanted. They don't fucking establish anything else about the character.
Yeah.
That's my only critique about the film is, like, he didn't really blossom as a character. He's just he's an angry black man who wants equal whatever.
Not equal.
Well, yeah, he doesn't want equal. He wants black power. And then he just repeats that over and over again. You never find out anything else about him.
Yeah.
Except, so that, like, oh, he was...
He killed a fuck ton of people.
Basically, like...
But that was legal because he was in the service.
And believes in scarification.
Yeah.
Seriously, though... One of the better Marvel villains. Oh,
so that leads me into my problem with Marvel is their villains. Is that they're the movies? I understand the movies are stepping stones to Thanos and what's going to happen there, and they're more to build up the good guys. But then the bad guys don't matter, except Thanos, who we don't know anything about at this point. You know what I mean? Yeah. Except for he's some giant fucking stellar dude. You know about him, but I'm talking about people who are just watching the movies. They don't know anything about anything else.
He's purple. I don't know.
Or pink, depending on what version of the trailer you saw.
That's the only thing you know about him, and to this point he doesn't have any henchmen. He doesn't have anybody who's lived long enough to bridge the gap between him and the good guys. But Loki was even Loki is now. He's kind of a good guy and in between.
I'm just saying he's bridged the gap.
He's right. He's a tweener.
Yeah, I wish Killmonger would be alive. I wish some of these cooler villains would live.
Like, that was one thing that really bummed me out about this movie, that Killmonger dies and that Claw dies.
Claw died like fucking that. It was nothing.
And he was fucking awesome. Like, cool. Dude, the line about the, wow, that's quite the entourage you have. Do you have a mixtape? Actually, yeah, I'll send you the SoundCloud link.
Did you see where,
make me listen to your awful music.
There are fans of the film, like, petitioning Marvel to make a Claw mixtape. Tape.
Oh my God!
Have Kendrick also produce that?
That would be amazing. I would love to listen to him rap too.
If they had any foresight, they'd have done it already.
Oh God, that would have been fucking.
But
great.
They built up Claw too in two movies now,
and then just killed him.
And then you don't even see him die on screen. Like he's in front of him and he's got his gun, and then he shoots, and then it's
as
you know,
fun
you don't
as
see
Claw
it. It's
was,
weird.
I actually thought he was done pretty perfectly because as fun as he was and as built up as he was over two movies, he was always like a side villain.
Yeah, but so Luke Cage and Daredevil and Jessica Jones have all, I think he's in Iron Fist too, have all featured this like low level street thug that's like a criminal that's always like, hey, do what you do, superhero. Like, I don't give a shit about what's going on. And they built him up over like three seasons of different shows.
Right.
Yeah, the black guy. I can't remember his character.
He's like
though.
A pimp or something like that. And like kind of like
he's a small arms dealer and a drug dealer.
He just kind of does a little bit of everything. You know, that kind of like low level, you know, villain or like toady or whatever fleshes out and like creates continuity between all of the movies in a way that the big characters really can't.
Claw had the makings of like a good heel.
Yeah,
character.
Like to throw away that character.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying I would have murdered him like they did. I'm just saying like his death is less vital to the movies I thought than some.
I think it is too,
but if you build up somebody like that, you expect him to do something. Yeah. And he didn't. He literally did nothing.
He made a mixtape.
You know what I mean? Though it's like Claw. He has this cool arm. They chased him and shit, and then he died, and that was fucking
and it. Was
like
it.
He literally did fucking nothing.
My thing is, he's like face to face with Ultron in one movie, and then he's shot.
Ultron
does like treat him like the uberest of most unimportant
that's
people.
Okay
well, Ultron's like get your fucking arm out of here.
But
it wasn't like he stood toe to toe with Ultron.
But I mean like he's fucking
like,
you know,
I feel like these movies are the seasons to the finale that's gonna happen in Infinity War.
Yeah,
you
for
sprinkle
sure.
henchmen or people that are gonna survive the whole way through. That way when you get to Infinity War, you're like, fuck, that guy's been there since Iron Man. You know what I mean?
They kill a fuck ton of superheroes in
Infinity
War. Oh my
god, yeah.
They have to.
Like, let's just thin the fucking herd and start with some new dudes.
If Marvel
I'm
wants
guessing that that's
any
what the next
kind
chapter
of
would be.
From like the Uber nerd, Thanos has to kill at least two people in the first movie.
Yeah.
He has to. Otherwise, people are going to be like, no, he's a fucking pussy. Why don't they just arrest him like they did in one of the latest comics?
Yeah.
Where they literally handcuff Thanos.
Oh, man,
no,
Marvel, your comic game falls so
he
hard.
He needs to fucking like murder the shit out of some people.
I've gone down an Inhumans X-Men road for the last couple days, and like, it's been better. It's not been terrible, but yeah, their comics game's been weak for a while.
Like, yeah,
it's like they don't know what they're doing.
It's weird. Like, it's the weirdest thing.
I'm telling you, they just don't care, bro.
They're making so much money with the movies.
Making
they
machine.
Don't care
yeah,
anymore.
They don't give a fuck.
Well, no, I think like.
That's why DC
lines.
Comics game is so good is because they're like, oh my god, our movie sucks so bad. What is happening right now?
John's not here to be on the show, but he just made a post where Marvel's like restarting the entire comic line again.
Yeah.
Again. For for like the eighth time.
Yeah,
in the
Marvel
last
just
decade.
Kill us now. Remember like the meme I showed you yesterday?
Oh yeah.
I don't think they're restarting. I think they're not going on with the super long titles.
No, like, they're supposed to be like issue number one-ing everything in the line again. And starting like a whole
new. Yeah, but I don't think.
New...
From what I read, I don't think like issue story. Number one-ing like X-Men Blue, like that just came out. You know what I'm saying?
They probably will.
I think they are. Dude.
Marvel does that constantly, dude.
That'll be weird.
They probably issue one everything every other year or so.
I mean, Rocket Raccoon got a reissued and up back to number one.
After like eight issues.
No, after like four, I thought. Like it was stupid quick.
I don't know.
Because this happened in the course of like 2 months.
So, going back to Black Panther, Michael P. Jordan. B. Jordan, that plays Killmonger.
Also,
steals every fucking scene that he's in.
Yes.
Was he the torch?
Like,
I think he was the torch.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he was the torch.
Fantastic Four movie, too.
I saw an amazing meme that was him saying, I've been waiting my whole life for this. And then Black Panther says, what, to be king of Wakanda? And then it had a picture of him, like the Black Panther poster and the Fantastic Four poster. It says, nah, to be in a good Marvel movie. But every scene he's in, he just fucking steals the show, man.
Yeah,
like
he killed it for sure.
Like, they should not have killed him off. They should have seen that performance and said, let's rewrite the end of this real quick.
His opening scene...
In the museum?
When he's like, are you going to tell me that mask is vibranium too? He's like, no, I'm just feeling it. Like, that scene, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I related more to his character than I did to Black Panther. Just
it's
that.
Also a comic book story movie, and there's no guarantee. I mean, they killed him, but he could totally not be dead.
Yeah, this is true. Good point. That's like, what I'm hoping like, happens with Claw, too, is that...
I didn't bleed out. I'm good.
I mean, because at one
point... bring me back to life.
Because at one point...
Flower's a hell of a drug.
Because at one point, Bilbo Baggins is, like, mostly dead and paralyzed, and they fucking restore him completely.
That's true.
Yeah, another broken white boy.
Oh, no. It was... just everything about that movie, especially the parts with him.
The scientist was fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, she was. And in the comic books, she becomes Black Panther.
Which one becomes White Panther? Or White Tigress or whatever the hell?
I think it might
end up...
Yeah, I think it might be the General.
Okay. Because I was like racking my brain the other day trying to figure out which one became the White
Cat. Yeah, you think they'd give out cat. Just more of those suits.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm bummed about?
Like, I get you're the king, but we could just have...
So the mountain tribe. So obviously the guy that his character in the comic books is Manape, but they're not going to... Yeah, the mountain... the best, right? So...
That vegetarian line is gold.
Oh my God, yeah, it is like one of the best
the
lines in the movie.
Fucking theater fucking lit up at that line. It's like,
just kidding. We're vegetarians.
And then he gives that like real toothy smile. He's like...
So
that's fucking funny.
Obviously, they're not going to call him Manape on screen. They like that's just too, that's just too fucked up. But so he wears like a mech, like gorilla suit in the comic books.
Yeah.
So when they rode out on like the vibranium armored rhinos, though that was amazing and fucking fun as hell to watch.
Right.
I wanted to see the mech gorilla suit so bad.
Maybe next
and
one,
I'm
buddy.
Hoping yeah. I'm hoping Tony Stark makes him like a Hulk Buster that looks like a giant silverback gorilla, but
that'd be fucking sick.
Oh my God.
My other weird little issue was the what's Michonne's name? What's her name in the fucking in the movie?
Oh, man,
Lupita Nyong'o. I think that's her real name. Lupita and I cannot fucking pronounce her last name. I'm sorry, but her like marriage or relationship with the opposing dude
just
came out of fucking
out.
Nowhere.
Yeah. And that was my other critique about the film. Yeah, like either have it and take the time.
I didn't even notice that was Michonne until you just said something.
Either have
really?
It and take the time.
Neither did Mel. Mel was like, man, that actress is so awesome, and looked her up.
Juan's getting on Skype, everybody.
Is John coming on? Oh, looked her up and was like, holy shit, that was Michonne? Did you know that? I was like,
I
did not know that.
That hair makes a difference. And I've seen like every fucking episode of The Walking Dead.
It was just weird. It was like he just stood down because all of a sudden they're Like, he realized he was wrong because they're in love? I was just fucking weird.
They drop like
he,
it.
He realized that he was losing, I'm guessing as well. But
yeah, at the very beginning.
They drop lines about it, like, a couple times.
The little, like, hologram, and she's like, hello, my king. Hello, my love.
Yeah.
And then that's it for the entire fucking movie.
Exactly.
Until the very end. And I'm like, God damn it.
Also,
I forgot there were even a thing
away
at
like
the
2 seconds.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like, you killed him because you stole him from us, asshole.
When they were talking, when she was talking about how she would kill him even though they were in love, I was like, fuck, I forgot they were even a couple. Holy shit.
I really want Black Panther to be the first Marvel movie with an extended cut. I want to see all the things we just talked about fixed, which if that BET 4-hour cut exists, I feel like
the BET 4-hour cut.
That's like the only place that they've talked about it.
I know. And I really
I would watch the
I want
shit
it so
that,
much
though.
To be a real thing. Like, I really fucking do.
You know how awesome Black Panther would have been as a Netflix show? Like,
fleshed out a little bit
just
more?
Just fleshed out a little bit
with
more.
With the same budget.
As like Luke Cage or Jessica Jones
I'm
or whatever.
About like that Game of Thrones budget. I want like $2 million an episode to look fucking beautiful.
Dude, that would be amazing.
We're getting a call, everybody.
Will his audio go through like all the mics again when he talks?
Maybe. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hey, baby.
Hey.
John, are you in Wakanda?
Reporting to us live from Wakanda is John from.
Are you in Wakanda?
No, I'm not in Wakanda.
Where are you at?
I'm in Colorado. I'm in Colorado Springs, driving back to Parker.
Nice. Did you see Black Panther?
Of course not.
Come on, John. Come
How's PJ Masks been?
Fantastic.
How's the new season of Paw Patrol? I'm watching that shit with you.
Man, Catboy fought Luna Girl the other day.
Oh, man.
Paw Patrol.
From the Peanut Gallery.
What's up, John?
It's PJ Masks. Not much. What are you guys doing?
We're doing this thing we do sometimes where we record episodes of our podcast that you're on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's
and
been...
And we're back.
Hey, I like it.
There he is.
We were talking about Black Panther.
But then you brought us down with your hate for black people.
I did not say that. Disclaimer there.
You didn't have to say anything, John.
We can all feel it.
You said everything by saying nothing.
How was Image Expo?
It was good. It was interesting. That's the first time that I've ever been. So we were we just got back from Portland last night. We were up there for the Comics Pro annual conference, and since Image Comics moved from Berkeley, California to Portland, they now host Image Expo in Portland. And they said, hey, retailers, if you're coming out to Comics Pro, you know, hit us up and you can get into Image Expo for free. So we took off a day earlier on Wednesday to go to Image Expo. I don't know. I mean, it was kind of, Juan, you've been with me to the Diamond Luncheon in San Diego. You know? So you know how, like, the publishers will get up and they give a presentation about all of the stuff that's coming out. That's basically what it was. You know, it was basically a presentation for fans and retailers of all of the new titles that Image will be releasing over the next year or so. But it was really cool. There's some really, really cool stuff that's coming up. There's a title called, I don't know if it's Isola or Isola, but it's by Brendan Fletcher from Batgirl, and it's illustrated by Carl Kerschel. That looks like it's going to be kind of the next saga. Like, it's very saga-esque. And so I'm pretty pumped about that one. Rick Remender's got a new title coming out that's basically about, what was the movie about the guy who drives a semi-truck? Sorry, the kids are going nuts in the background.
It's okay.
It's called Over the Top, John. It's called Over the Top.
What are you guys doing?
Sounds like he's rapping, bro.
Yeah, they're very happy and speaking nothing but gibberish. So it sounds like I'm in Wakanda, baby.
Wakanda forever! What movie?
What's that?
What movie?
What movie?
You were talking about it with the semi truck.
Over the top.
No, I'm not asking about a movie.
Yes, you were. You were. You just said, what's the movie?
I'm on the phone. Spin. Read your stories.
Finn, yell Wakanda forever.
Yeah, right?
It does sound like they're saying Wakanda.
I just want his children to be like, ooh.
It sounds like they're saying Wakanda. They're crazy. But Image Expo was cool. It was, you know, it was a little underwhelming, but there's a lot of cool stuff that's kind of up on deck. There's a bunch of Spawn stuff that Todd McFarlane's coming out with. I'm sure you guys probably read all of the press releases and the posts and stuff about it, but it was cool. The cool thing about having the meeting and stuff in Portland is that so many creators are up there in Portland, because you've got Dark Horse, you've got Boom Studios, you've got Oni, you've got Image, you've got IDW that just moved up there and has a office up there now. This is a fucking shit show.
You good, bro? There it is.
Finn, stop. I'm gonna punch him all in the face.
Oh man. No,
he ain't lived. He punched a baby. He ain't lived.
Did you read about the ordering system thing that Diamond's doing now? I just kind of glanced at it.
Yeah, so they're kind of. I was hoping that we were going to get more info about that, because they came. They made the announcement on like Thursday during the conference, and so I was hoping, or Friday maybe during the conference, but I was hoping that they were going to get up and tell us more about it. But what the general gist that I get is that this is basically, it's kind of in its infancy. It's not even able to go live yet, but that. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Comixology, and Comixology had a section of Comixology that retailers could implement to allow customers of the stores to manage and manipulate their subscriptions, online. So, you know, Juan could basically go to Comixology and say, you know, I want Walking Dead, and I want, you could add new titles, you could drop titles, you could change covers, you could do all of that from wherever you are without having to come into the store or to tell me that this is what I want. And then the retailer would just get a notification that said, you know, Juan would like to add this or drop this or change this, and then we can do that, you know, from the back end, which is a great idea. But then Amazon bought Comixology and completely did away with that side of the program.
Sounds so like now Juan's Diamond, a bitch Diamond anyway.
They said that they've been working on this for the last 16 months to develop a program like this. And the cool thing is that Diamond themselves and Diamond runs Free Comic Book Day, and they also have Previews World. And between those three outlets, they have, you know, hundreds of thousands of followers. And so that... They can you know, use that, they can utilize that to drive customers into comic book stores. If you don't have a comic book store, you know, you can reach out to somebody through this program and have them order products for you and ship it to you and all that sort of stuff. So
I think it's cool as shit, especially for somebody like me who's 2 hours away from his comic book shop.
That's kind of what I was thinking. You know, I don't have to just Facebook message you and say, oh, I want this, or oh, I'll get rid of that. I could just do it online, and it'd probably make it way more streamlined for everybody involved.
Exactly. Because, you know, I mean, I love that everybody messages me. The problem is a lot of people message me when I'm not at the store, and so then I have to fucking remember when I get to the store to make those changes. And sometimes I'm a human. I screw up. So sometimes that doesn't always happen.
You're not a robot?
I'm really excited about it. So much so that I was contemplating. They have Diamond does an annual retailer summit. This year, it's ahead of C2E2 in Chicago. And Carissa and I were talking on the drive down to pick the kids up that, you know, would it be worth flying out there to see their presentation for C2E2? But I think it's still too soon. I think I'm going to wait until San Diego. I'm sure they'll have way more information, you know, in July than they would in April, about the program and when it's going to roll out and how much it's going to cost us and all that sort of stuff.
And now we can bring Gabe into the luncheon so that you could get more free stuff.
Exactly. The more free stuff, the better.
I'm way about being a tool for your profit.
Beautiful.
Speaking of which, do you get any cool free stuff from this event?
No. Nothing for you, Doyle.
No, but did you get any? Did they hand out any cool swag?
Yeah, definitely. We got some cool stuff from Image from Image Expo. We got variants for Spawn and variants for the new series Versus and Wicked and Divine. And then at Comics Pro, like all the publishers that are there, always have something that's super exclusive that's only available to those retailers. So there's a sketch cover for X-Men Red from Marvel. There was a Infinity Countdown Adam Warlock exclusive from Marvel. DC had a Dark Knight's Metal Wild Hunt, and
I may or may not want that.
Yeah, you don't want that one. Yeah. We also got a Power Rangers exclusive from Boom, so I don't know if you want that one or not.
I didn't even know about that one.
He's about to fall asleep over here. As soon as you said Power Rangers, he fucking woke up.
Go, Doyle Ranger!
So, the
chubbiest Power Ranger ever.
He's the Brown Ranger.
Yeah. I'm just making tacos in the background every fight.
That's your spirit animal, Brown Ranger.
Hey, Pink Ranger, carne asada, what's going on? You want the lingua? Come on.
What's your animal?
It's a toro, buddy. It's a bull.
It'll be a turtle.
Turtle with a sombrero on.
That's what it is. It's a bullshit.
Hey, so I had another question. Like, as like a comic book realtor, as a comic book retailer,
I sell comic houses.
Yeah, you sell comic houses. That's what you do with all those, like.
That's what boxes are. So
yeah.
Oh, side note, I want that Walking Dead box.
Homeless Avengers.
Okay, I figured.
Have you seen any like spike in sales of Black Panther stuff with the movie being so ridiculously popular?
Here's the problem that I have with that. We have seen people come in looking for Black Panther, not comics. Toys, action figures, pops. It really frustrates me. There's a shop owner by the name of Phil Boyd who runs a chain of stores in Florida called Coliseum of Comics. Amazing shops. If you're ever there in Miami or Jacksonville area, go to his stores. He's awesome. His stores are awesome. He has a special retailer Facebook group for shops, and he made a post in there about how like it's super awesome that Black Panther is the fifth highest grossing movie ever. That, you know, millions of people are going to see it, but why then does the Black Panther comic book title sell less than 50,000 units a month? Like, how the disconnect between the people who are fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the people who are fans of the comic book prop, this character, it's so completely and utterly, you know, distant from one another. How do we capitalize on that? It's really interesting to read the comments about this post because Phil is talking about how, you know, comic books nowadays are $4. And for $4, you get generally 1/6 of a story because comics are written in a 6-issue format, you know, to write a story arc to be collected in a trade paperback. So if you buy 6 copies of a $4 book, you know, that's $24 that you're out. That's more than a movie. You're going to go to the movies and see the movie, you know. Walking into a comic book store and buying a trade paperback or buying a single issue or having to buy a 6-issue story arc, you know, you're getting a drop in the bucket in terms of that character and, you know, that character's kind of history. And it's super frustrating. Like, how do we bridge that gap? How do we bring those characters? Is it having, you know, the guy who played Black Panther holding up a comic book and saying, you can read more about me at your local comic book store? Is it including somewhere either before or after the movie, you know, that this movie is based on characters from Stanley and Jack Kirby? How do you drive those people who are obviously huge fans of the Marvel Cinematic Universe into the Marvel comic universe?
Well, I think some of that can be accomplished on Facebook and Twitter, you know? Like, why doesn't Marvel itself say, hey, if you're excited for Black Panther, there's this month's issue comes out or whatever, you know? Why don't they, as a group who's fucking, I'm guessing they have somewhere in the billions of followers on social media, why don't they push it?
Right. And that was something that was brought up at the meeting.
Why don't they give away digital copies of comics with movie tickets?
They should give away digital copies of comics with their movie tickets or a physical comic book. Like, could you imagine if your ticket price included, you know, the first trade of Black Panther or something like that?
Some of the premieres did have, like, issue number one of the Wakanda series that just came out recently.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a crappy, like, movie theater variant. Just didn't really look appetizing. I don't even think it was the full issue. I think it was like
a sampler issue.
Yeah, it was like 10 pages of issue one or something.
How much money do you lose if you get a code, a digital code?
That's what I was saying. It's like the digital copy, like you lose nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Huh. Maybe, I mean, I've been reading...
That's something that we're going to try when Infinity War comes out. You know, we've got a stack of Marvel Legacy number ones that were left over. Like We bought in big. Marvel gave us a huge discount. We made money on the sale of Marvel Legacy, but we still got a stack of books left. So we're going to take those to the first release of Infinity War and put a business card and a sticker in each bag and ask people, like, are you going to see Infinity War? Here you go. This is what this shit is based on. If you like it, come meet. You know, come talk to me. Come to the store. Check out the comic book. You know, we've got Infinity Gauntlet, we've got Infinity War, we've got all kinds of Thanos shit, you know. But buy a fucking comic, you know.
You assholes.
Right?
It's smart. If a theater will let you go in and do some shit like that, that's fucking smart, for sure.
Sure.
Well, John, you want to take us to break? Because we're going to eat breakfast now.
Sounds good. You've been listening to another thrilling episode.
Episode is good.
Applesauce.
Of Thinking Outside My Long Box with Ooh. John Juan, Gabe, Doyle, Tim, and other people.
And your kids.
Wakanda.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. You need to do that as a sound clip, the kids screaming in the background.
No, I think you just made the sound clip right there.
Yes. Well, John, hopefully we can catch you back later. If not, thank you for being on, my friend.
Yeah, you bet. Give me a call. We can talk about more stuff this weekend.
There's like
some cool shit that's kind of in the works.
Cool.
Good deal.
Text me a picture of that Power Ranger book.
Oh, you assume that you're getting it.
That's I said text it.
He just wants to see it.
That'll be for the winner of the Aquaman Namor Swim.
Oh.
You dirty bitch.
It's like blackmail.
All right,
almost.
Buddy. Have fun with your family. We'll try and contact you in a little bit.
Okay, sounds good.
Say everybody says hi to Carissa for us, too.
Right on. She says hi to everybody.
All right, brother.
Nobody said that.
All right.
Bye. Wow.
Oh, so much shade.
And the face. What's up, guys? This is Epic Film Guy Nick here, and I just want to take a few moments to tell you about an excellent podcast that I personally listen to called Ice and the Face. All right, now, if you're a fan of dystopian and even nihilistic comedy, this is the show for you. Rick and Sarah take the most ridiculous news items in the world every single week, and they just tear these stories down, all while having a great, great laugh. They're usually joined by guests who jump right in on the fun, and it's just a great time. They just launched a Patreon over at patreon.com/iceintheface, so you can also support them. But if you're not listening to this show, what you need to do is go to their website at iceintheface.com, or jump over on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe to Ice in the Face. I promise you'll listen for 2 minutes and you will be hooked just like I am. So go ahead and give it a listen and back to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey, this is Cullen Bunn, the writer of Harrow County, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Doesn't exist.
You don't belong in my intro.
Did you like show them that?
What is this?
Aww. Oh, buddy.
Adorable. Don't forget to heart your testicles.
Oh, good times.
We're recording.
And we're back.
It's weird saying we're back after the intro.
Yeah. God, see, now when you say it, though, now I have to think about it and it fucks with my brain.
Like, did we just get here?
Now we got to start all over again. Everything we.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 81 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. This is the second segment.
We're not doing that again.
I'm Gabe.
We're not doing that shit again. Fuck that noise.
Wakanda forever.
So we just gonna keep going down notes.
Black Power. Yeah.
Black nice. Power. We're gonna go to Black Lightning.
Oh,
I haven't watched
hear
that.
It.
I haven't
if
watched
I
that.
If I don't watch it, maybe we should wait. Until someone else is
on. No. Dude, are you kidding me? You know how much stuff has been just episodes of me saying everything I've watched that Juan's never seen or heard
it's
of?
It's annoying.
And everything that
I
Juan's
will admit
watched.
With you, it's annoying.
On the same.
Because
like,
then he's like, I watched this thing and I thought it was cool. And I'm like, okay.
It's a little over the top neat. Black power also. Like, black people getting blacked upon in this black neighborhood, and we gotta stand up for our blackness. Like, that's pretty much what the whole show's about.
The also, suits look silly.
The suit is a little silly, but the show's still actually pretty good. What's funny is the bad guy is a black guy, but because black guys always gotta get held down by the man, he's also an albino, which I thought was hilarious.
Wow.
That's, okay. That sucks. That's super stupid.
I was like, just do a white guy. But his Alfred is really kind of weird. Like every superhero kind of has like that dude
right.
who's like
they're micro or they're Alfred or
he's
they're
like an Alfred, but he's a tailor that randomly just has all this sweet tech and money and is also like secretly hiding shit from him, so he kind of seems like a bad guy. Oh, shit. So you don't know what's going to go down.
But... Is he white?
Yes, definitely.
Oh, see, that's the bad guy right there.
He might be the
that's
only white
for
person
sure the
in
bad
show
guy
at all. I don't even know there's white people in the background of that show.
And that's on CW, right?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It usually airs after Flash.
And that's part of the DC
yeah.
overall
no,
universe?
No, they or? Haven't. They so supposedly the producers and all them said it wouldn't be. And then they were dropping hints in different articles saying maybe it would be.
And then Stephen Amell was on.
But they haven't said anything. It hasn't crossed or done anything like that yet. So,
nice.
As far as I know. I forget. It's not in my queue. It looks. The costume just looks completely silly, and I don't.
Honestly,
even
I don't,
the female costumes look weird.
Yeah, I don't think it would be in my queue either. But I accidentally bought the entire season of it.
So like, well, I paid money for it, so I might as
well.
Well,
I was like,
it.
Really tired, and I was like, oh, this is a new show, and I was trying to figure out how to watch it online, the first episode, but it wouldn't work. Like, it would fucking play for 3 seconds and then buffer. And then I was like, maybe it's on Amazon Prime or Hulu or some shit. And then all of a sudden, I was sleepy and I was looking at it. And I like passed out. And when I woke up, it's like, you own the season. I'm like, fuck. Like, I guess I clicked that shit. Well, I was right about to pass out. But it's been all right.
You were sleep shopping.
I've done it a couple times, dude. With other things.
I did the...
Mostly cocaine. My...
Wow, okay. The Flash, Arrow, and all them are on break until this upcoming week because of the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to find things to watch, and I just started watching the Marvel's Runaways. And I'm on episode 4, and I still don't really know what the fuck is going on.
You have to get into that show.
Super weird.
It's like, and I stopped watching it at one point, so I don't even know if that's true, but... It's almost like there's nothing to make you care about the show, but the acting is pretty good as far as little kids go.
Right.
And like, it keeps drawing you a little bit.
But there's no – so I at this point, we kind of know that the parents are criminals, and that's pretty
yes.
much it. You don't know what's going on. There's a old – there's like a 100-year-old or 150-year-old dude with a mask who
sleeps
I think they're
daughter.
Trying to keep him away alive or something. He sleeps with his daughter. And then there's
wait,
a –
wait, Donald Trump's in this show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then the kid
still an episode where we talk about him.
The kids
dolphin
loose
noises.
The kids loosely
wow.
The kids loosely have their powers, but you don't. It's weird. You don't really know anything.
That was amazing.
That's kind of.
It's weird. I mean, I'll still. I'm going to watch the whole season.
But it's engaging. Just you just don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
and I'm usually pretty comfortable with shows like that where I don't necessarily need to know.
I don't need a full season of the last season. I finally know like why these kids have the things that they have.
I don't necessarily need to know like what is going on as long as it's done in an engaging way. Like. I'm okay with mystery. Like, I made it all the way through Lost, so there's that.
Well, I think that's different because that's the theme of the whole show is that you don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? Whereas this, like, literally I'm 4 or 5 episodes in, and I don't know if they're trying to time travel because they brought it up at one point, and there's a fucking dinosaur who has a psychic link to this other kid who she doesn't know why. Like, there's a lot of fucking
dinosaurs in it?
I think that's the reference, but I don't know if it is or for sure not.
Oh, I don't know if it's called Devil, but there's a dinosaur. It's like a velociraptor.
Is he bright red?
No.
He looks not gigantic either. It's
he looks like.
On it, oh, okay.
Looks like a regular velociraptor.
Runaways, I'm pretty sure, are mutants, though.
Yeah.
I don't think all of them are mutants, though. Some of them are
mutants. So the main black kid doesn't have any powers at this point. And then one of the main white kids doesn't have any powers except for he's really smart.
Right. It's called swag, Juan.
One girl.
Wow.
Oh, shit.
He'd be hitting all the bitches.
He's not, though. That's part of the problem.
Kind of,
a little bit.
It gets more in. Like, yeah.
And then one girl sparkles and glows. And so it's just weird to me. I just don't know what's going on, and I don't know that I'm comfortable with that, but I'll keep watching it.
Nice. He's like Gambit, but instead of throwing cards, he's throwing his fire mixtape at people.
Ooh, Gambit's coming back. Wow. Well,
no, it's not.
No, they canceled it.
Dude, that Gambit movie's been on again, off again, so many times.
Marvel, he's coming back to like the comic book. Mm. He's going to be a part of X-Men Red.
Let me check my give-a-shit list.
Hey, X-Men Red's turning out looks a little bit pretty okay.
I just, man, like the whole...
He hates everything. What, as soon as he hates one thing, if 20 years later they make the coolest fucking X-Men comic ever, he'll still hate it.
When we're 2 cars away from X-Men Rainbow, I kind of get it. But it's getting a little ridiculous. But
I don't know. Just the Marvel comics have been bugging me. I would love for them to just try to write something new. Like, if you're going to throw away characters from the past and just write them as garbage, do something new now. Like... I don't know. That's a part of what bugs me about Doomsday Clock. So I'm going
to... Everybody loved it.
So I get that. And it's probably really good. I read Batman... No, I read Batman 11 through 23, which had the end of the I Am Suicide story, which is kind of like Batman confronting Bane on his island. And then after it had Rooftops... The Rooftop storyline, which was him and Selina Kyle, like, hooking up and kind of, seriously, comic book sex scene. then after that was I Am Bane, which is kind of like the other side of that Batman Bane story, which was really, really cool. Because basically, Psycho Pirate, Bane kidnaps Psycho Pirate, and Psycho Pirate is able to go into Bane's mind and basically make him feel happiness. But... Psycho Pirate is also the only person that can save Gotham Girl. So Batman kidnaps Psycho Pirate from Bane to help Gotham Girl, who is like the clone that was like kind of invading Gotham with her brother. And so Bane no longer can feel happiness. So he just plugs back into the Venom because he's going to take Psycho Pirate back from Batman. So like the I Am Suicide, I Am Bane plot lines are like these mirrors of Bane trying to have happiness versus Batman trying to have happiness, and how in the middle of those two things, it's just them hating each other. Like, and it's a really, really interesting plot line. But the next two issues after that, and then issues 21 and 22 of The Flash, were the Button crossover, yes, where Batman and The Flash are trying to figure out the little Watchman button, mm-hmm, where it comes from. Eobard Thawne confronts Dr. Manhattan, which they never explicitly show in it, but you see his giant blue hand at one point, not his blue dick like in the comic book.
Sway.
I think modern day DC is going to throw a Manhattan Steak in.
Absolutely not. Doomsday Clock? No way. So
I feel like they have to.
So the plot of the button was really, really cool, and I really like how they're handling like Watchmen in that like particular moment. But I'm still super like, I don't know that I want to read Doomsday Clock because I don't know if I want to fuck up Watchmen in my brain. Like I don't know. It's like a weird thing where it piqued my interest on a level that I'm probably gonna try to like find some of it, but I also am afraid that they're gonna ruin like one of my favorite comics ever. Like it's just a weird place, but this little plot line was really, really cool. Like I really dug it.
Well, it was really well received.
Yeah, it was the
Doomsday stuff.
I know Tim likes it, right?
Pretty good so far.
Up on other stuff. I kind of want to wait till it's all out.
They added honestly. Two new characters, the mannequin dude and oh fuck, I'm forgetting their names. I'm still a little weeded
from last night.
Yeah, fucking ripped again last night, man. But yeah, they got these two new characters, and they're like it's a man and a woman, and I guess they're in a relationship. And the one guy has like these invisible tools that nobody else can seem to see. But, like, he can, like, slice your throat open with him, and he picks a lock with seemingly nothing.
Huh.
Like, people are thinking he might be, like, the first meta in the Watchmen universe.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Like, aside from Manhattan.
Who is more like a deity than a meta, but yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome. I don't know. I'm kind of, I'll probably pick it up when it comes out as, like, a giant Doomsday Clock trade.
Until then, you'll just keep hating it.
Yeah.
What?
No, so like I'm kind of saying I softened my position on it. Like the button was so well handled that now I'm actually interested in reading Doomsday Clock, whereas before I was like I have zero fucking interest in a Watchmen plot written by Alan Moore.
Like Rebirth comic?
Yeah.
To kind of get into it. I was curious.
I had read Rebirth, and at the time I had Batman and Detective Comics in my pool, so I read
Batman.
Yeah, I read a bunch of the
An All-Star Batman, by the way. That just goes away.
It just went away, I think.
I think it ended.
Yeah.
They ended the arc.
I just have the ability to not let it affect what I've loved in the past. If they make a reboot of Terminator 2, it's not going to affect how I think about it. Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's not. I like to try new things. If I don't like it, I don't like it. It is what it is.
For me, that's the thing. I like to try new things, so I'd rather see them try to write something new and different. Like, in the new 52 Batman, the Sunshine Man or the guy that has the flower for his face. I cannot remember his fucking name.
I read Zero New 52.
Brand new Batman villain. Fucking incredibly intense. Like really, really cool plot line. And I love that.
It's still a Batman comic.
Well, it is still a Batman comic, but they were able to create a new engaging villain that was completely out of the scope of all of the old villains.
But how do you know that they don't do that with Watchmen if you don't
read
the book?
Well, that's what he's saying. There's two new
people. Well, but I'm saying aside from what he said, how do you know that not going into the book without just reading it?
Because it's branded as here's a bunch of Watchmen stuff.
Still, and I mean, that's a Batman title still. You know what I mean?
But Watchmen isn't a Batman title.
No, but I'm saying like you enjoy the Batman title with the new villain, but if you hadn't known that it was a new villain, it would have been a Batman.
I absolutely
book.
Knew it was a new villain coming.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that
if you
stopped reading Batman, even though you like Batman, you, not knowing that there was going to be a new villain in it or not, you would still pick it up because it's a Batman book that you like. You like Watchmen. It's weird to me that maybe they're creating new stuff and you don't know about it.
I think part
why of, you wouldn't just pick up Watchmen.
I think part of it is because Watchmen stands like very singularly. Like it's a complete story from beginning to end.
It's got a prestige to it.
And then on top of before Watchmen was handled so poorly, like they just weren't good comic books. And then to just kind of say, here's the regular DC universe and Watchmen, let's just throw them together. It doesn't feel like something that anybody is going to take seriously creatively. It feels just like quick, let's make some money.
But now and that's, that it's out, most people have said that it's good.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, reading the button and then hearing how much people like Doomsday Clock makes me then think to myself, okay, this is something I'm going to try.
I guess I'm for me, if I like something, I'm going to pick it up.
See,
if I like Batman, I'll pick up Batman. If it sucks, it sucks, but I'll still read it.
I think I'm not trying to sound like super arrogant, but I think because of how my budget is, I have to be more discriminating about what I read. Mm-hmm. And so as a consequence, when I see something that just looks like a half-assed cash grab, I'm not interested in it. Like, I become immediately, I'm out. But
here's the thing. In the age of, and we're not condoning anything, but in the age of being able to pretty much read or watch whatever you want without paying for it, I mean, you can probably stick your neck out and find it. That's my point.
And
like, you smack of somebody who just you have a feeling, and then you're just like, fuck it, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, that's exactly how I am.
Instead of being like, fuck, this is a new Watchmen, maybe it's going to be amazing, and then if it sucks, it sucks.
I think it's me, and like.
And it's not just about comics.
I think for me,
for anything.
I think for me, it's something that's panned out enough where I've seen a trailer for something and said, that looks like a hot mess. And then it is.
Right.
You know, and sometimes I see like a comic book title and I say, that looks like absolute garbage. And it is.
He's just not a glutton for punishment when it comes to.
So now
I just like watching things that I love.
Now
like,
this is one of those moments.
I'll watch another Terminator movie if it comes out. If it sucks, it sucks.
So now this is one of those moments where I thought to myself, that looks like it's going to be shitty, and everybody's saying it's not. And I'm okay not being the first person to be like, this is awesome.
Right.
I'm totally willing to say.
My feelings for things have nothing to do with other people except for myself.
This is one of those moments where my hunch about how the comic was going to turn out isn't right. It seems like it's not right, and that's totally fine.
Right.
Like, I'm interested in Doomsday Clock because the Batman Flash crossover was so well handled. So kudos to you, DC, for not being Marvel.
I was a little bit hesitant too because Marvel over the last couple of years have been smashing their like big hits together.
Yeah,
it's been terrible.
Like Avengers versus X-Men.
Avengers versus X-Men, and like. Basically, they're just killing the X-Men off. So
original Sin.
Everybody
versus everybody. And I hate that.
Original
like,
Sin was tough.
And I've effectively read that same idea so many times that seeing DC Universe versus Watchmen Universe, yeah, not interested. But now I am.
Right.
So.
I love things, and I'll give them a try. Like I said, beyond the money aspect, because you're in a time where it doesn't matter whether it's legal or illegal or not.
I think
you could stick your neck out and read one or two issues and be like, okay, I don't like it.
I think part of it, too, is my time. Like I have two short boxes of comics that I haven't read yet. You know, why am I going to add something that I'm like genuinely afraid is just going to be hot garbage, you know? But people seem to like it, so I'll definitely check it out when I get a chance. Farted. Felt good.
That's not like it came from upstairs. I was like,
yeah, it sounded like somebody like nudged the table upstairs.
Let's see. I read Baltimore Red Kingdom. Finally got to put that in my brain. I was unaware that this was going to be the last volume of Baltimore.
Yeah.
So I got about three issues in. And I was like, wait. If they go to confront the Red King, either they kill him and that's the end of the story, or they don't and Baltimore dies and that's the end of the story. Holy shit, this is going to be the last volume of Baltimore. Oh my God, I don't want this to ever be over. No.
And I haven't read it, but I know it's the end.
It's really, really good. Like, if you haven't read the Baltimore series, it comes out – or it came out in, like, typically – 4 to 6 issue volumes. They're all available in trade. The full run of it's 41 issues.
Isn't that a trade by itself?
Yeah, so Red Kingdom would be like a trade by itself.
Oh, okay.
But then like Curse Bells, I think is like 4 issues and it's a trade by itself. So it just...
You also got the original comics pretty cheap too because it never really like...
It never really picked up.
It caught on.
There's like one issue of it. I want to say it's like issue 7 or 8 that's like a standalone that was like an exclusive somewhere, and it's like the only way you can get that one issue, and that's really the only one that's like a big money issue. So, but fucking super super cool story.
I don't know anything about Baltimore.
So Baltimore is this
a few things. It's got crab cakes, heroin.
I do love crab cakes. I don't like heroin.
I mean, but if you tried
heroin in the crab cake,
yeah, probably.
If you tried heroin, you would probably like heroin too much.
Nah, not even once.
Just Formula One racing like once a year. I don't know.
No, so Baltimore
racing in a circle sounds horrible.
Is a British
turn right.
A British lord.
It's a what?
A British lord.
A British lord.
Yeah, he's Lord Baltimore.
Lord,
yeah.
Like the singer.
No, Lord, like a
yeah, it's a 60-year-old
Duke.
English hip hop.
But she.
Then
fuck.
I am Mickey Mouse.
So Baltimore is fighting in the First World War, and he gets attacked by a vampire who he thwarts. And the vampire, to get revenge, kills his wife.
Oh.
And so he goes on this crazed, like, I'm going to fucking kill monsters thing. So the first couple of volumes starts building this story where there is a coven of witches and a cult that are trying to raise the Red King, who is like this, you know, Cthulhu-esque, not like Cthulhu specifically, right, but like Cthulhu mythos-style god. And as a consequence, there's this plague sweeping across Europe that turns people into vampires and monsters, and there's witches. And it's like this alternate, like, post-World War I history where Baltimore is basically fighting across Europe trying to defeat the Red King. And it's super solid 41-issue run. Nice. Written by Mike Mignola and Christopher Golden. Just
is it in the it's in the Hellboy world, isn't it, or is it not?
I don't really. There's like a couple subtle hints to the Hellboy world throughout it, but there is no like really explicit. This takes place in the Mignola verse,
yeah.
So I don't know, but it's
trying to get an interview with that guy forever.
It's fun. Like
the new Hellboy movie, is that still coming along?
Oh yeah,
yeah, oh yeah,
yeah. They have actors for it and everything.
Dude's huge. Dude is huge.
It's got to be. He has big Perlman-sized shoes to fill.
You haven't seen David Harbour?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Really? He's the sheriff from Stranger Things. He's Hellboy.
But I know I've seen him. Like I haven't seen him as like the
oh,
Hellboy.
Oh, yeah. He's
though.
Getting ripped.
Yeah, he's getting
for sure.
Super buff.
Yeah.
Let's see. So finish Lock and Key. Read volumes 4 through 6. If you haven't
that
read
that book, sounded cool.
If you haven't
time we talked about it,
if you haven't
yeah,
read it, you gotta
it made me want to read it.
You gotta fucking read it. And it's crazy that it's on IDW. Like that still blows my mind. Like
why? Because they suck?
No, it's not because they suck. It's because it doesn't seem like the kind of book that they would typically release. Like it's just it's cool. It's really good.
Typically like cup the balls, but they work the shaft.
IDW is
a little bit of rimming.
That's what they were doing. They were working a shaft.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But I mean, while you were. Come on, buddy.
Yeah. All right, so
but IDW does mostly like licensed stories, doesn't they? Or am I getting them?
Don't so they do the Ninja Brothers. Turtles and
I
shit like
say,
that?
I want to say about 2/3
like
of their
Smurfs
stuff is licensed, and then a bunch of their other stuff is kind of random indie stuff. Boom oh, okay. does the same thing, where like the bulk of what Boom puts out is licensed, but every once in a while, like right now I'm reading Judas, which is like this story of Judas in the afterlife
maybe
after he betrayed Jesus. I hope
book.
So. I'm working on it. But that's the same kind of thing where like
that's the sound I make when I come.
Wow.
Oh, man. I'm sure Ashton hashtag not my son loves that.
It took us 23 minutes to get to the cum.
Wow, that's weird.
I generally last about that.
I generally last about a tenth of that.
We're timeless.
We'll get on it.
All right.
But, pulling up porno, oh, done.
But Judas is kind of the same way, where it's like a really cool, like, indie image-feeling book that's randomly on Boom. So
nice.
Oh, no, it's really good.
Does he go to hell?
Yeah.
As he should.
Yeah. And, like, if I... I'll tell you about it later.
I actually want to read the book.
This is why I like the idea of what we were talking with John about earlier, about being able to go on and kind of manipulate my pool, because I'm guessing that, and I'm sure they have these titles everywhere, but when you can manipulate your pool, they have all of the books in one spot.
Yeah.
So then you can just go, well, this sounds cool, and then read a description about it and be like, fuck yeah, I'll put that in there.
Yeah.
Where I have to right now search for shit that I don't, because I'm not in the news. I go through previews
and I check mark the things that sound interesting to me, and then I like pick one or two things, and then I text message John. How much easier would it be to just like go through a list, read, click on it? Oh, that does sound cool. Click. I guarantee I would put way more things in my pool and like spend way too much money.
I wouldn't, because I'm like pretty close to maxed out, I think. My mom found the first receipt from when I caught up.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, Mijo, why? Yeah. I raised you better than this.
Spend money on comic books?
Like $700.
You got deep pockets, bro. It's all right.
Ain't that deep. They're shallower than they appear. No, they're all right. But
this object looks smaller in the mirror.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, why you got to keep
doesn't look that big outside of the mirror.
Let's see. So I
one thing. I want to talk about it. Because one thing I read about that, the people were talking about it, which I think would be stupid as fuck.
Judas. Or are you talking about the system thing. Oh, okay.
Was that if you wanted like a variant, you could order 50 copies of it to get the variant. That sounds stupid as shit.
Because somebody,
but there's enough people with like a decent money cap.
Hey, bro,
I can see
you
John
buy
all of a sudden opens up like 90 boxes of comics.
Hey, if you paid for them, fuck it. Like, yeah that's
there,
on
there's
you.
There's cool ways they could do that, though. It's like if I want a 1-in-100 variant, I spend the money for it. You give 99 of those books away to like libraries or something like that.
Oh, that'd be really cool.
Like, as opposed to like John randomly getting 1,800 copies of one comic book because some nerds want the variants.
That,
he's like,
that you,
what the fuck?
That you end up with, though, because you would have to buy those 50. So he's like, here's 50 copies of Power Rangers Green number 0.
And your variant.
And your variant.
Yeah, that just seems retarded. But it seems like you can do something cool with that where it's like, you spent the money, now we can actually do something
like
with
donate
books.
Those to like Boys and Girls Club or something like that.
Because right now it seems really stupid with like, I remember John talking about it where comics will get released with this is how many copies they sold, when in fact that's just how many copies went to the retailer. It's not how many sold.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Diamond.
And a lot of that's based on variants, like how many you bought to get the variant that you wanted.
So Diamond's been sending us press releases about sales and shit. We get them every month or so. And it's interesting to see that, like, Marvel will sell – well, DC – I think it was DC sold more comic books than Marvel did, but Marvel made more money off of the comic books that they sold. And then it break. You always get like a top 10 of the books that were the most popular that month. Like, it's crazy.
Batman
the little
is literally almost always at
the Walking
top.
Dead is in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool that you it's cool because we're getting press releases, but it's cool to see the breakdown of everything that's getting sold in a month. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet to have access to.
Well, I put an article out there so people could see it.
I didn't see that. Shocking.
You can find that article at www.totlb.com.
Yep.
Where we have
or
other
on Facebook where Gabe doesn't fucking go to.
Oh,
so.
Jesus. I'll get back on. Calm your tits. I will. Ashton.
Let's go back to MySpace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just us.
Side note.
Just the four of us.
I don't
our
want
pages are
I don't
bedazzled
want,
as shit. Links everywhere.
MySpace.com.
Background music.
We'll just have like some really obnoxious death metal so that every time people log on, they're just fucking
blasted. It's like 3 seconds of quiet, like a normal, because the page is loading.
Yeah.
Then like another 5 to 10 seconds while the music buffers, and then just all of a sudden. so that people at work are like, what the fuck was that?
So mute. At work, it's been slow this month. And so like Saturday, I was watching 2 or 3 hours of cops tasing people and of bullies messing with the wrong people. And then they get their ass kicked. And I was watching a guy go through a drive-thru of like an Arby's or something like that. And the lady's about to hand him his shit and they fucking blow their giant ass horn at her and she's fucking freaks out. She's like, fuck you. And she throws their drink in their fucking car and just fucking goes everywhere.
Nice. Guy deserves it. Probably rolls coal fucking douchebag.
I love that shit.
She's all,
you don't get your fucking
probably
drink.
Probably lost her job.
Right.
I doubt they said anything. Didn't seem like it.
I love watching that kind of shit.
Yeah, yeah. I love watching people get tased. It's the best.
Especially like the drunk asshole that's fucking with the bouncer that just threw him out. He's like, what? And then the bouncer's just like, boom, fucking out cold on the sidewalk. And all of his friends are suddenly like, ooh, what a fight. And then like all they get fucking knocked out too. Like those are my favorite.
It's amazing. I was watching one where it was in Russia or something. And some dude is tailgating some guy or something. And the car in the front, he gets out, goes back to his car and gets a crowbar. And then you see him put his hands up and be like, oh, shit. And the dude who he was fucking with has a gun, and he just steps out. And he's like, I'm sorry. Puts his crowbar down. It's fucking hilarious. I love it.
It would be cooler if he had, like, something truly absurd, like a missile launcher or something.
He's Russia. He just pulls out.
Exactly. Like he just has a – or, like, an RPG or something like that.
In Russia, traffic, fuck you.
Soviet Russia.
The only thing I read was fucking WWE books this last couple of weeks.
How are those? Are they pretty fun?
So it mirrors the story that you see on TV. So it's exactly the same story, but when it's on TV, you obviously know it's staged, so they can't – you don't get the same storyline. So in the book, it's like – Triple H is telling Seth Rollins like they're really gonna fight, and they, you know what I mean, they really, if I was watching it when I was 10 years old or something, I believe that they're gonna beat each other up and blah blah blah. That's kind of how it plays in the comic book. Like, I'm gonna kick Brock Lesnar's ass or whatever, and they don't ever play out the, it's like, this is how we go through the match and blah blah blah. It's like real life in the book. It's cool.
Huh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, it's the same story as what you see on TV. It's just the actual real storyline.
Is it does it like actually mirror the show?
Yeah,
like,
pretty close.
That's weird. So basically the writers for the show just also have to script a comic book now.
Right. There's enough of them.
I know there's like 40 of them or something insane. No, like that.
That's the only thing I've read.
Should
so
be
far.
Like two of them so that their plots make fucking sense. You know what we should do? Have every woman on the roster in a match. Every week. That's what we should do.
That's a lot of women.
It drives me nuts. Anyway, I don't want to devolve too much into wrestling. So, read Sleepless, which is Leila Del Duca's new book. I really dug the first issue. I'm excited to read more issues.
Maybe we'll have her back.
I was going to actually suggest that, having her in the
writer.
That's
all I've been
on.
Doing is emailing people.
Which I really appreciate you.
It's not just
out.
You. But
I know, but like reaching out to the... Like, I know that I randomly send you lists of people that's like, try to get these people on the show.
Well, this is behind the scenes talk, I guess, but I literally just recently I bought into Baron Space, and so I own 47% or whatever it happens to fucking be, because Albie's weird.
Dude, make the power play.
So
get that 51%, baby.
So
some like criminally masterful way that Albie wakes up one day going like,
why?
With that, we revamped Quantum Leap podcast, and so that's back on schedule.
Juan started cracking the whip.
Yeah, I was like, we can't.
It's all motherfuckers.
If we're gonna move this forward, we can't have one episode out every half year. That makes no fucking sense.
Juan wakes so, I'll be up at night with the Bane mask. I was like, feeling sharp.
The thing you gotta realize about Albie is that he's very, very nice. He doesn't like to tell people no. He doesn't like to put schedules out there.
And Juan's a
completely
dick.
The opposite of that. We made a schedule, and I was like, if you don't have your shit in, it's not going in the show, and we're just rolling with whatever Albie and Heather tape. And we're on 2-week intervals, just like we are with me, nice. With me and you. And so their shit's coming out, but
not these two assholes.
No, not these two bitches.
Our own show, Tim.
Yeah, we should.
You should.
I'll put it outside the long box.
I'll put it under
the short box.
I'll put it under the Baron Space Productions umbrella.
Writing inside the short box. I love that. Yes.
I won't say none, but we're always looking for new podcasts at Baron Space Productions.
So here's something funny. I guess Black Panther went up like another 300 million as of last night. It's now sitting at like 704 for global.
Stop acting poor, black people.
Wow. Only like a half a dozen black people are getting rich off of this movie.
Right.
Just, you got enough money to go to Black Panther, you got enough money to pay transport.
I was reading an article. I was reading an article about
that. Not really true. Those are way different prices.
I was reading an article about the week over week drop and that it's like above average for like a typical Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And that the amount of money that it's making like over the 10-day span of its first 2 weeks puts it in like the top like 3 or 4 of like movies.
For,
like,
I don't understand how Avatar made so fucking much money. Like, it kept so fucking weird.
Shit.
No, it wasn't.
And a terrible movie.
But a big part
how
of it.
How old were you when it came out?
Well, I don't even think he was born.
It's because Avatar had like Avatar 6 opening weekends. They kept putting it back into theater.
I think the other thing too.
I don't think I watched it. I think I was young. When did it come out?
You're talking about Last Airbender?
I don't remember.
I was out of high school.
That was not.
Poor Ashton's like Avatar: The Last Airbender from M. Night Shyamalan. Was fucking terrible. What are you people talking about?
That movie was terrible shit.
So
I don't like Avatar.
There's no more Last
Airbenders. One of the things that I think really, really pushed the monetary amount of ticket sales for Avatar is that it was one of the first movies that pushed big on the 3D thing. Mm. And I think tons and tons of people went to see it paying the extra ticket price for the 3D that aren't seeing other movies in 3D because who the fuck needs to see Black Panther in 3D?
Right.
And right now at the
there is something with the whole like this is how we should live thing too.
Yeah.
Minus the like fucking with our hair, but
the
like, nature.
So I remember when Avatar came out, the number of 3D screenings mirrored the number of 2D screenings. And now for Black Panther, there's like 2 3D screenings today of Black Panther and like 25 2D screenings because the 3D gimmick is something that people aren't super, super interested in.
No.
But when Avatar came out,
it's not even that old. 2009.
They pushed that 3D. And I think it really,
it's 9 years.
I think it really, it's really increased their ticket sale numbers.
Think back where you were 9 years ago. It's longer than it seems.
9 years ago, I was 22. Yes, I was.
I don't even know your time.
I was married.
9 years ago.
You were like 6.
No, I was 23. 24.
I was selling tricycles instead of cars.
Yeah. No.
Business was booming.
I may have still been married to my ex-wife or like just gotten recently divorced.
How old are you, Ashton?
I was 22, divorced.
So I was married. I owned my first house already.
2009. Yeah, that was like right.
So I was like, when you were like shitting on it, I was like, dude, there's no way.
Yeah, I'm talking about Avatar the Last.
You're like, I was 4, and that movie sucked, dude. Clearly illogical.
So.
It is weird to me, though, that like that record hasn't been I think there's one movie adjusted to gross that's better than Avatar, but I cannot remember what it was.
It's probably Star Wars or something.
No,
like
it's some. I think it was a black and white. I think it is Gone with the Wind. Yeah. I think it is Gone with the Wind.
Star Wars.
No one had anything else to watch.
Gone with the Wind was fucking massive for its time, though.
It's a pretty good movie.
I mean, it holds up.
I haven't watched it in a couple years, but I like it. So
nice.
So I have.
I would leave with the wind, personally.
I have a few interconnected comic book reading, and I'm going to lay this out how it happened.
Okay.
So I picked up the first issue of Hungry Ghosts because it's the Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, that's the weird looking one. Huh?
Yeah, it's kind of like a food centric horror like anthology book. You know, written by Joel Rose, Anthony Bourdain, with art from some really seriously good artists.
How the fuck did that book happen?
I don't know.
Anthony Bourdain has money, and he's
I think so. And like, it's based on this really cool.
Everything I know about Anthony Bourdain, I didn't know he liked or had any interest in the comic book world whatsoever.
Well, we're getting there. So Hungry Ghost is based on this really cool like Japanese tradition where a bunch of people gather for an evening and they light 100 candles and they tell a scary story and blow one candle out. And then a scary story and blow one candle out. And the idea is that
100 stories?
Well, so the idea is that once you get to the last candle, this evil spirit comes. Kind of like a Bloody Mary kind of idea. All right.
Yeah.
So that's the premise of the book.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Scary story to the table on Saturday.
So
more than one.
After reading that, I was looking on Hoopla, which is the app that I use through the library to read digital comics.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Can I pick my library?
I think so, yeah. Okay. I'm not 100% sure how the app works, other than I know it's connected to my library card, and I can check out like 8 things a month. So
because Dom was talking to me about it on our Facebook page,
yeah,
which you didn't see, but he was saying that I'm guessing you had your library card first.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have a library card. He I guess the app gave him a temporary one or something, and he doesn't actually have to go into his library.
That's very possible, yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious. Because I don't want to go to the library. I just want to be able to reap the rewards.
I think you can register a library card online now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Specifically for like apps like this.
When I went to inside library story. I think I went to the library like 2 years ago,
and it's
I
had gone porn.
Since I was like 8. And the librarian was like, "I'm sorry to say, but you have fees." from when I was 8. She's like, "Yeah, and it's been so long. They're gonna have to charge you like the full amount." But I was like, "What the fuck is this gonna cost me?" And she's like, "It's gonna be like $3." I was like, "I can handle that." She made it sound like I was gonna die.
She's hyping you up.
That's because I've literally seen people be like, 10 cents? What do you mean it's gonna cost me 10 cents? Like at the library, people
I was like, if it's $3 for 8, like, I mean, since I was 8 in delinquency, like, I'll pay everybody's fees up. There's a 20, bitch.
Cover as many people as you can.
Books on me.
Have you seen that Seinfeld episode with the library? Oh, it's fucking funny. It's just a dude. He's like a detective, though, for the library system. And he seeks out people who fucking lost books and shit. Oh, it's funny. It's funny. That's awesome. That's a good one.
So on Hoopla, they have Get Jiro, which is one of Anthony Bourdain. Which is one of Anthony Bourdain's other comic books. And so here's what's funny about it. The way he got into comic books is Anthony Bourdain wrote a series of like crime fiction novels. Mm. And somebody had said, "We want to adapt one of these for comic books." And he said, "I actually have this other idea." And they did that instead. So Get Jiro takes place in this like kind of dystopian future where all of the world is just focused on food. Okay. And there's like rival food gangs and like rival chef crews and stuff like that. It's like Starve.
Yeah.
So I read Get Jiro, which is the art is done by Langdon Foss, who I think lives in Colorado somewhere. I'm not sure.
Is he the one with cancer?
I don't know. I'm not, maybe.
I don't know if it was on Instagram or Facebook. Somebody was pushing a GoFundMe for an artist that had cancer.
Maybe. I don't know.
That name sounds very
familiar. I'll have to look it up. And he's one of the guys that I asked you to reach out to. But
oh, God.
So, he's on the list. So I read that. I read Get Jiro. Where was I going? Okay. So Langdon Foss was the artist on that. Starve is drawn by a guy whose name is like Eastern European, and I can't – it looks sort of like his first name's Daniel, and his last name is like a mash of like I's and J's and accent marks, and there's no way I could pronounce it. But he – the guy that was the artist of Starve is the artist on a book called Days of Hate. Days of Hate is another post-apocalyptic book that takes place like kind of right after the Trump administration. And there's like this crazy, like, you know, there's like a terrorist organization that's like a liberal terrorist organization. And then like white supremacists, like just kind of marching through the streets and stuff. Really, really interesting book. It's coming out in 12 volumes or 12 issues. I think the second one is out right now, but I've only read the first one so far. Days of Hate is written by a guy named Alice Cott, who I really, really dug the issue. So I, again, got back on Hoopla and looked for him and found a book that's drawn by Langdon Foss and written by Alex Cott called The Surface that came out on Image a few years ago. That's like this really cool kind of meditation on coming to terms with like how you were raised and like depression and like the way you can use art to like heal yourself.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Fucking you're still just bitter and full of rage.
Yeah. Art's done nothing for me. It's not cathartic.
But
well, now it's a job.
But yeah. it was just really cool.
Especially when I have to keep bugging people to pay up.
Oh God, here we go.
Won't go there though.
Here we go. Here we go.
Someone doesn't use Facebook, someone doesn't pay his bills. A lot of shit.
Well, so the story goes, I said, "Hey, remind me or I won't fucking pay you." And so weeks go by. Maybe a week. And then I was like, oh, fuck. I was supposed to.
It's like Tim's like, maybe. It was like 9 weeks.
But I was like, oh, fuck. I need to pay Tim. So I'm moving money around, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hey, I move money around today.
How much were you owed Tim?
60. Well, I don't know him anymore.
Guys, you got to move money around?
It's not for me. It's for the show. It was the sketch we had him do for Ryan. And so I moved money around into the TOTLB bank account so I could pay him. And I was like, hey, remind me tomorrow. And then it was Saturday, so I was busy at work. And I get like 17 fucking memes. Pay me. He's like, you told me to remind you. I was showing everybody, look at this asshole.
So it's basically the way you wave at me 30 times a fucking day.
I just, you know, the Facebook messenger has like the GIF thing. So I just typed in beautiful. Pay me and sent every single one that looked good.
That's awesome.
One of them's like Pizza the Hut. From Spaceballs.
Pay me.
One of them was a little Asian girl who's like, give me my money, bitch.
Yeah.
Pay up, motherfucker. It was fucking good. I have a shit memory. I need to be reminded of stuff. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So do I. That's why we have a schedule on a Google Calendar. Otherwise, yeah. I'd be like, what do you mean we're recording today?
I fucking almost forgot.
I know. You told me. Don't say that on air. But it was really cool. Like, basically, I read about six books that were like all tied together, either with artists or themes, and like it was
Anthony Bourdain.
It was like a really cool week of reading where I was like, man, all of these people like have all worked together, and it's just a cool little fucking rad community of people and plot lines and ideas.
This reading after just saying you don't have time to read Doomsday Clock.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm reading. That's what I'm saying. I read fucking so much. You fucking fag. I hate you so much.
He is, and he didn't even know how this book was going to turn out.
No,
it could have been horrible.
So let's think about the things I read. They're fucking written by all the same people I like, drawn by all the same people I like, and the plot of all of them was completely different and new and original.
Yeah, who cares?
It wasn't just, oh, let's fucking throw the DC Universe and Watchmen together and see what... Oh, fuck you. You don't get a gorilla meat. I will feed your children to my family.
Hey, shh. Those are Ashton's children, too.
We are not fucking vegetarians, so I will eat your kids.
Ashton will whoop your ass.
Yeah, she probably would.
Come at you like a little fucking...
Ashton's been trying to get my attention forever.
Remember when we owed the library in Denver? Like $50.
Oh, we did. We owed the library in Denver like $50 because.
And then you just moved your library card to a different place.
So the kids.
It was different.
The kids checked out books. The kids checked out books from the library in Denver when I lived in Denver. And then they took them all to their mom's house back in Greeley and never turned them in. And we owed the library an enormous amount of money. It took me weeks to pay it off.
Fucking Ben. You guys don't know fucking Ben, but...
I know Ben.
I don't know fucking Ben.
He almost cut his leg off one time, like for real, with a hacksaw, and I rented him some movies from Hastings, and he fucking never took them back. And then Hastings, like, went out of business and got all vengeful and started trying to take people to court and shit. I literally went to a court case. They're trying to charge me $800 for two movies at Hastings, where the judge had to throw it out because of how fucking ridiculous it was. I'll buy you two... I was like, I'll buy you the movies right now, if that's what this is about.
For like $5, because they were probably VHS.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
It was like late fees that had accumulated over years. I think it was the last two movies I ever rented at Hastings.
This is the second episode in which you helped take down Hastings.
It's true. I am a supervillain with really lame... What did you look sitting at the super villain table?
Pretty
what did
mild
you do?
Fucking goals.
Took
as
down
well.
Hastings. Didn't even know I did.
Next is Netflix.
Yeah. Oh, please don't crush Netflix. I need Netflix.
They're doing pretty good right now.
I pay them the maximum amount you can monthly.
Oh, because you get like rentals or some shit with that too, don't you?
Okay, I guess I could pay them more. I don't do that. Okay. I pay them the maximum amount of like streaming. Which I think they just raised recently.
Yeah, but it was like
I think it was like 50 cents or some shit. I don't think it was crazy.
Top end, it was $2. Yeah. Like, I don't think it was that bad.
Okay, mister, I don't have fucking money to buy a comic book.
Comics are expensive, bro.
Dude, it's exactly what John was talking about. I pay, like, what, $12 a month to watch whatever is streaming on Netflix? There is no pay $12 a month to read whatever the fuck DC puts out. They should do that, though. They should have a Comixology deal where you pay, like, $15-$20 a month, and you can read whatever DC or Marvel puts out. If they did that, I would totally buy that.
Comixology was like the Netflix of comic books,
but you still buy each comic individually. They're inexpensive compared to the physical versions of it, but they're still like, you know, you're still paying like $1.99 per issue. So
all you starving artists out there, let it be known that Gabe wants you to be even more starved.
Yeah, no, thanks, starving artists. The people that work for Marvel and DC are not starving artists.
I bet you they are.
Independent comic.
I bet they're getting paid still, but
they get made.
I bet they're not getting paid as much as you think they're getting paid.
No, they're probably getting.
Probably not. Cause
they're probably getting paid more than me. I'm guessing.
They're on a solid title. I bet they're still three figures.
Three figures?
Yeah.
They're making hundreds of dollars. Literally hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
I'm kind
of
tired. Six figures. I'm a hundred air. One wrote that new X-Men book. Got me $500.
Scotty Young's like, I paid rent, motherfucker.
Oh, that's funny.
That's why Jeff Lemire's writing fucking everything. Right? 8 cents.
Because he gets paid 5 cents a page.
Yeah.
So Kevin Smith,
Valiant sent me peanuts this week. What the fuck?
Literally peanuts.
I was listening to his podcast, and Kevin Smith said that he gets paid $100 a page. I guess it depends on the book you're working on.
But Kevin Smith is not.
He's
like a high-end comic book writer.
But I think some of that comes with what him and his agent work out and who he is. Yeah. Not necessarily that he does it all himself.
I bet there's people out there getting
like $50.
Probably, but the people
for
that
the
are
shittier titles, yeah.
The
probably.
People that are writing like the top titles. Tier like Marvel and DC titles, I bet they're making more than that. Mm-hmm. Like, and
I'll jump up to six figures this time.
And when you think about it,
like a writer
does that include the decimal points?
When you think about it getting paid $100 a page on a 28-page comic book, that's not a shitty paycheck, man.
And some of these books are coming out twice monthly.
Yeah. Well, that was my next thing. It depends on what you're writing, how much it comes out. Because $2,800 a month, I mean, it sounds like a ton, but it's not really that much.
Still more money than I make.
Especially after you get taxes and everything pulled out.
Definitely more money than I make, though.
Phoenix Resurrection every week, although they put new artists on it every week for some fucking reason.
That's a lot. Holy shit.
Well,
$5.
It has to do with, if it's coming out weekly, they have to put more than one artist on it because nobody could keep up with that pace.
I mean, that's true. We could just plan it ahead, though.
That involves Marvel planning ahead.
It's a pretty good series, though.
It's a fucking multi-billion-dollar company, buddy. I think they're fucking planning ahead.
Not the plots of their comic books. They
that's
don't. Right. Fuck
that's
that right. shit.
For those of you who missed Jean Grey, just reset.
Again, as crazy as or dumb as we think Donald Trump might be, he still has fucking made a lot of money. So he's got
to
be some kind of functional.
It's hard to fail when you have like a base model and a giant amount of capital. So, like, his dad's like, here's all this money.
Oh, I agree with you.
And here's how I made all this money, and you can invest into that, which is what all he did in the beginning.
Right. I agree with you.
And every time he stepped outside of that, fucking usually mass failure. So I'm just like, I mean, goddamn you, Trump.
Burning hell.
I agree.
Yeah.
So
that's the consensus of TOTLB.
It is. It genuinely is.
Don't arrest us, though. Come on.
No, that's not a threat. That wasn't a threat at all. Let's put that out there.
Yeah, we're not
threatening anybody.
No, we don't want anyone sends you to hell. We just
want you to end up there.
Yeah.
At some point in time.
At
maybe
your own pace.
50 years, you know.
Maybe
you'll probably
next week.
All
either
of
way,
us,
I'm
all
right.
All that money. Yeah.
Kindly go.
You'll just keep getting more and more orange, and you'll live forever.
So speaking,
it's fucking curing him or what?
So
shielding him.
Officially, like he's just a giant talking head for
Doctor. He's the, like the evil, stupid face of Bo.
Aww.
Bo is like, that made me sad. I don't know what's with this fucking orange guy, but get him the fuck out of my room.
I don't remember what episode I figured it out, but when I figured out the, you know, head or face of Bo, like, was Harkness. It was after
the face of Bo died.
It was probably one of the saddest things I've ever experienced.
It was
a TV
fucking soul crushing.
Like, yeah. In a TV show, I was like, ugh.
He dies, and then at the end of that episode, Jack Harkness tells the story about how they used to call him the face of Bo back in his town.
Yeah.
It was sad. It made me fucking almost cry. It was
made me
sad.
Straight cry. Like, I had to pause and weep and then unpause.
Yeah,
and
like
then
broke
I
and
am fucking
more.
Getting a picture with him this fucking Denver Comic Con.
Nice.
It's fucking happening.
So, I only got a couple more left.
Okay, good, because we're fucking in 2 hours into this episode already. So, we're not even at the fucking pop culture.
So,
we got a place to be?
He's got a place to be.
Not till like this afternoon.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I got you.
Altered Carbon came out on Netflix.
Is it good?
I haven't watched the show yet.
Oh,
and this is why.
It's amazing.
Because Hoopla.
It is amazing?
Yes.
Hoopla put all of the books as audiobooks on their app.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I got super excited. I'm like, I'm going to listen to the book before I watch the show. I listened to the whole book. Holy fuck, that book is amazing. I watched the first episode of the show. Holy fuck, that show is amazing. Like, I cannot wait to finish that show.
Probably my favorite show on Netflix.
So that's my favorite. That's what I'm most anticipated for with the Hoopla thing, if I do it, is to be able to do audiobooks.
Dude, the audiobooks.
You can give us some money, Hoopla, if you want.
So here's
Hoopla. I tagged him in a post. I was like, get a shout out.
We advertise the shit out of you.
So
all, only one of us uses
the
you.
Entire.
And only one of us saw it on Facebook.
There's tons of graphic novels, like tons and tons of trades and stuff like that. Marvel, DC, Indies, all of that stuff. The books right now, they have the Southern Reach trilogy, which is the books that Annihilation was based on.
For you to listen to or read?
To listen to.
Oh, okay.
As an audiobook.
I can't read anymore. I need to be able to listen to some stuff.
Yeah, as an audiobook. The entire
I'll have to have you get some shit for our trip to San Diego.
Oh, to listen to? Yeah, that'd be cool. The entire Altered Carbon run is on there as an audiobook.
How many books is it?
Three right now. And I'm on the second one. I'm about 2 hours into the second one. Totally fucking different.
Is this the one where you said that they woke up the dude and you weren't sure that he was the right guy for the job, right?
Yeah, okay. But after watching the show more, it made way more sense.
Yeah. It's
like when you watched the preview, it made no sense. Because the preview was like, I was murdered and we woke you up to solve it. And I was just like, why don't you just get a detective who's alive currently?
and there's like, there's actually like a really specific
a really
reason,
good reason.
And it's really fucking cool. Like the technology in it, the world building that
is it better
done,
than Wakanda?
They're about the same.
It's the best show on Netflix. I'll put it out there. This is my favorite show on Netflix.
Okay. Dude, the book, like the novel, like I highly, highly recommend reading the book or
so
like listening
the
to the book.
Is the first season or is it?
I think so. And like, and mind you, I've only
Does it
seen
end with him solving the murder?
Yes.
Okay, so I think it is.
Okay. So there are.
Spoilers!
There are fucking super.
You know that's going
to
happen.
Dude, and the way the solution to the murder.
It's convoluted
is
as fuck.
Fucking confusing as shit. And convoluted. Like the way he like reveals it and explains it, I was like, I'm going to have to listen to this part again. But,
plus, as a dude, have you ever seen like a show with a hot chick and you're like, I wish I saw her naked? You do.
Yeah.
If there's a hot chick, she's full frontal naked at some part
so
of the
show.
So
it's time to watch the
so
show
it's like
that
the
yeah.
sci-fi
saying.
Game of Thrones.
And
much.
There is so much sex in the book, too. It's like, oh, okay, I guess that's happening now.
I just like they don't leave any of them out. They're like, she's hot. Well, she's naked.
Oh, no. It was a really, really awesome book. Like,
nice.
I really enjoyed it. So
nice. We just started watching Harry Potter with Johnny.
Nice.
So we just finished the.
Different take, but all right.
We just. What?
So that's a different path, but all
right. Wow, he was about to say something else after Altered Carbon, right? You were on to your next subject.
Yeah.
Okay,
sci-fi
cool.
And titties, Harry Potter.
I'm cool with it.
So I didn't know the UK version was the Philosopher's Stone
instead of the
Sorcerer's Stone, because apparently they mean two different things to Americans or some shit.
They're just more intelligent there.
Yeah, I probably agree with that. But I was just like, what the fuck is this? But no other difference except for the title. Nice. But he loves it. He was into it. So I think we're watching him. I think those are so dense and more complicated that I don't think he'd understand a lot of what's going on.
I think that's like about a fourth or fifth grader book is about where you can really grasp it.
I recently finished all the audiobooks of that.
Stalking shit in there.
Good listen.
That's the older one. He won't be too bad. He's probably looking for the chair you're sitting in.
So Chamber of Secrets is next, and I'm excited to fucking watch that again.
I like it because the movies, they get better and they get longer. Like the further on you go,
yeah.
I love Fantastic Beasts. I cannot wait for that fucking second movie to come out.
They're pretty solid.
So like the little like midget trailer they did for it. It was only like 10 seconds.
I didn't see it. I had to look at it.
Oh, sexy midget ass trailer of this movie.
Oh shit! Okay, Michael Kirk.
Calm down.
Wait, being possessed Harry Potter? By ghost of Michael Kirk. It only takes up a small part of my soul.
Come into me.
Red Young Monsters in Love, that was fun. Is like a DC standalone that was all like romance stories with like Swamp Thing and Raven and stuff like that. It's just fun little kind of throwaway, not a throwaway book, but that's like
the one with Swamp Thing making out
with Bride of Frankenstein on the cover. Like it was a lot of fun. Like it was a cool thing.
Batman tried to throw Swamp Thing in jail for fucking the human.
Remember when Swamp Thing like consumed all of Gotham City?
Yeah, didn't go well for Batman.
He almost died in Constantine.
And then the last...
Swamp Thing?
Yeah, in the book.
Can't really kill him.
They're in some sort of like universe or something like that where he's dying or some shit.
Yeah,
it's cool. If he dies, it goes pretty poorly for us.
Yeah, because the whole world dies when he dies. So the last thing I read, this was a random Instagram find. So I was like scrolling through like our Instagram and saw this picture of a D20 like crushing a cop car, and the title of the comic was No Gods, No Dungeon Masters. And I was like, well, I've got to read that.
What's a D20?
20-sided dice.
It's 20 dicks.
One bag.
20 views of
one
dicks.
Bag.
It's kind of porn.
So the comic
I got
itself.
Some fucking information.
I went and found it on Amazon like for $5. It was really inexpensive, so I picked it up, and it was. It's like this little meditation on being an anarchist or like, you know, extreme left-wing radical, and also being a giant nerd, and how like those two things work together,
nice.
Also work apart. But the very last, he's like, he has to leave his D&D campaign because the squat that he lives in is getting raided by the police. And the last, he runs up and he's like still like kind of in D&D mode, and he's all, you know, I will expel all of these, you know, police officers from the squat. And the last panel is them arresting him. You know, he's in handcuffs, he's on the ground, and they're like, what happened? And the cop says, I don't know. He just ran at the building screaming, I cast magic missile. You know, and it's just this funny little, you know, tie in between like politics and nerd culture. And it was a really fun little book. And I don't know. I think I want to give it a plug because I think more people should read it because it was neat. So
what's it called again?
No Gods, No Dungeon Masters. It was a lot of fun.
Pick it up.
A book or a comic?
It was a comic.
Pick it up, bitches.
I'll let you borrow my copy of it. That's how much I liked it.
I'd like to read it. Sounds interesting.
It was funny.
You said you did read Winter Special though, because I wanted to talk about that more.
Oh, I did. I read Swamp Thing Winter Special too.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay.
This week in Floppy Copy.
Oh, yes. Which I didn't put any thought of that name, so it's probably
going to
stay.
No, it's cool. I like it.
Floppy Copy.
I was like, it's going to stay, I think. But
Gabe would know if he looked at our fucking Facebook page.
Oh, my God. Shut the fuck up about it.
I didn't do much of a review of it there.
He doesn't have time for that.
I know, right?
I literally bought a computer so that I could do more shit for the podcast. Fuck yourself.
He entered the age of the internet for you.
It's not here yet. I ordered it yesterday.
The intranet?
No.
The internet's not here yet.
The internet's not here yet.
What?
Al Gore hasn't invented it yet.
He's like, it's coming. They tell me. I don't know. They're going to install it, maybe.
Series of tubes.
Install it.
We're going to have it.
Wi-Fi's.
Talk about winter special, you fucking assholes.
This is his second review, by the way.
Second review. Like I said, I review it very little in the actual post.
This is his post first review introduction that was supposed to come pre the first review.
But came after.
When will then be now?
Because I don't think about things before I do.
Post pre.
But also because this book, which I'm okay with spoiling it here because this has like a couple more weeks before it comes out. Is like you can say like four things about the book and it fucking spoils it.
Yeah.
Because it's so linear and like what it is. But I just wanted like to know people's takes on what you thought.
I don't know.
Is this like an inner thing? Like, is the monster him? Like,
I don't know.
Such like, a weird fucking.
So it's like a weird little thing where the monster is him, but the monster's the little kid. Like,
and he straight murks a little kid in this book, by the way.
Yeah.
Kills it dead.
Really?
Yes. It is. It's pretty intense.
After, like, basically loving and caring for the little kid for the entire comic and then kills him.
And then, so he realizes. Needed to die. I mean, he did it as an act of love.
It's almost like his humanity has to die for him to continue. Yeah. I don't know. It was really cool. What I really dug about the Winter Special, though, is that more than anything, it was We Miss You, Len Wein, Bernie Wrightson. Like, it was very much so. Even the story
an old Swamp Thing story.
Yeah.
We miss you, so we're going to kill this little kid.
No, it was more like, we miss you, so we're going to pay, like, homage to
the Wrightson gods.
They sacrificed the child to bring back Wrightson, bro.
You and I understand what's going on. Those two are just going to be jackasses.
Well, yeah.
I
have the book sitting. I haven't read it myself.
Since the Alan Moore run of Swamp Thing, it's not. There's been, like, peaks of goodness, but I don't think it's been great.
The new 52 run of Swamp Thing was amazing.
I heard it was good. I didn't read it.
Oh, God.
Oh, the cats.
Oh, cats. Cats are invading.
Pickles. Somebody grab Pickles. Pickles and cat.
Somebody shut the door so the other cat doesn't run down here.
Sorry.
This was definitely my favorite Swamp Thing story in a while, though. And he doesn't really kill a kid out of an act of love. It's like necessity more than love.
Oh,
so if I could,
he kills him out of an act of
rage. If I could remember, if I could recommend a cool Swamp Thing story, the Batman Volume 3 issue 23. So like one of the newer issues of Batman.
Okay.
It's called Brave and the Mold. And it's a team-up Batman Swamp Thing story that
is very similar to
the Winter Special that was really good.
I'm over it. I'm not gonna.
I heard the thing where he fought Superman.
It's because you don't like good things.
It's because I'm acting like Gabe.
Oh fuck you!
What was it? The Superman Annual.
Yeah,
the Swamp Thing's in it.
Mel, say hello.
John said that was good, but I didn't.
It was good. I actually bought a Superman comic book on purpose just to read that storyline. It was really good.
Instead, I keep buying more copies of books I already own.
Instead, you keep buying more copies of Power Rangers.
That's only... No, I can't.
Rub it on his face. That would be amazing.
He can't touch the pussy.
Rub cat taint all over his face.
Not rubbing my pussy on his face.
Oh, that went dark quick.
I gotta go.
I'll be in my bunk.
I'm allergic.
Anybody else got other stuff?
I had something and then it escaped my mind. I don't have anything else.
If I had notes, you wrote them down.
Oh.
You had notes, you said. Was that it?
The notes have to do with the pop culture classic.
Floppy copy will come out hopefully every Friday, depending on when Doyle gets it to me.
It'll be Friday.
Okay, cool.
The other one's already written.
Sweet. Cool.
I'm going to try to get two. I actually like it.
That's why I wanted you to keep writing because it gets different things out there.
And I'm being 100% honest with you. I specifically bought a laptop because a big part of why I haven't been doing any writing is because that computer in my comic book room is attached to the desk. And so I can't
I have to be down here.
So I can't like help with the kids or interact with the family. So I got a laptop so that I can hang out upstairs, do my writing. Like do some more stuff for the podcast while also being like around my family.
I don't need you to come back to Facebook to interact with stupid people.
I know.
I could give a fuck about those people. I just need you for the podcast. That's it. I would like if you came back and you blocked everybody.
Well, I don't want to block everybody.
Whoa.
Smacking me around with the tool.
The tool's just fucking, whew. You could put that in on fucking
literally,
Doyle's face.
Literally every moment that my wife walks into the podcast is full of sexual innuendo.
She likes sexual innuendo.
She likes sexual. Dink, period. That's it.
She likes periods?
Oh, no. Nobody likes that.
Well, I know.
Well, I mean, I'm sure somebody likes
Devin
that.
And Taylor. I mean...
Hey, ew, no, dude. I don't know that. How about that baseball?
They like it slippery. I didn't even want to say that.
You tell all kinds of jokes about black people and you can't stand the period joke?
The sexual period joke is a little different than the black joke.
No, it's...
Yeah.
Well, you can't turn the heat up
because
don't put my electric bill.
I'm aware. I'm always cold. I'm basically homeless.
You homeless look homeless Avengers. For sure.
You're not homeless every other weekend.
That's true.
Aww. Where do you go the rest of the time?
It's my shitty apartment.
Oh, okay.
That's like the size of this room.
That's filled with fucking ketchup packets.
He's just delivering milk.
He goes wherever those fucking city carriers aren't.
That's right.
He goes wherever they let him have condiments still.
Yeah.
Major Black
Panther. Oh, yeah.
He's getting ready to touch on you.
Hey, whoa.
Whoa.
I said he was.
Oh, I thought you said I was.
I said he was.
I was like, I've literally never heard you say that one.
He was.
And even though Gabe.
Don't touch my butt, Gabe!
It feels so good when it's in spandex, though. It's the best.
This isn't spandex. This is Lula.
Well, leggings, spandex, whatever it is.
Anyways, comics.
It's a pyramid scheme.
Even though Gabe hates the X-Men, one of the only good X-Men is back now with Jean Grey, so that is exciting.
I have heard that a lot, actually.
I don't hate...
A lot of love for Jean Grey.
I don't hate...
Well, they just killed off all the... Like, all the X-Men that people love, they murdered those ones.
So, see,
like,
that's my problem. I don't hate the X-Men. I just haven't enjoyed an X-Men book for such a long time. Like, I love... The old Uncanny X-Men run and the X-Men run that came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
I still collect X-Force. I love that book. Cable's fucking awesome. Oh, shit. We didn't talk about that Deadpool trailer.
Is fucking hilarious.
Dude, when he's like with the toys. Pew, 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 pew. Are we done with this yet?
Regeneration. Activate or something like that. So you don't say that.
Toy Story outfit.
Oh, dude.
Cable's Buzz Lightyear and he's Woody.
He's Woody. Dude.
Reach for the sky.
That shit is so fucking funny. I love he pauses. He's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
This is the trailer. You can't leave green screen shit in there.
We're trying to get rid of a mustache.
Oh, man.
That was the best part.
It's fucking terrible.
That was fucking funny.
Dude, I watched that a few days ago, Justice League, and the opening scene where the little kids are filming him, and they're like, this is for our podcast. It's fucking terrible. Like, I was like, it looks like they colored with a crayon.
It's like, so bad.
I'm going to go make bread.
Okay.
And for a scene that's not...
I love watching that.
A scene that's
not necessary. Okay, that was weird. I got a little glimpse. I got a little glimpse into what Gabe does at night.
It moved.
It's moving for me a little bit.
Not when the tongues touch like that, though.
No, they don't. Tongues touch other areas.
Hashtag not a mouther.
Yeah.
I only have one thing left. Henry Rollins is on board for He's Not Dead 2, which I'm super excited about because He's Not Dead was really cool in the way it.
Was the Netflix show.
No, it was the movie where he's the angel that has a kid, but to stay alive, he has to eat people.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I gotcha.
Fucking coolest
shit. That
was
still a Netflix movie, though, wasn't
I don't think it was a Netflix movie, but it was on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
But yeah, He's Not Dead 2. I'm super excited for that.
It was alright.
I love that movie.
Bye!
Bye.
Wow. Love you!
I love you, too.
I wasn't talking to you.
She's talking to the listeners.
Followers.
Gets
our,
our fellow followers.
Fellow followers.
She's here to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ.
No.
Her
that's
Lord and Savior.
Like to buy a watchtower.
All right, we'll take a quick.
There were times where I would accidentally answer the door, and it was four old dude trying to tell me about watchtower,
oh,
and I'd
dude.
Be there for like 20 minutes, just like, oh my god, stop.
One time I was like trying to walk one of the kids in like a stroller, like just go out on a walk. And the Mormons came up to my house as I was leaving, they're like, you know, can we talk to you about the Book of Mormon? I'm like, I'm about to take a walk with my kid. And the guy's like, cool, we can walk with you. I was like, all right. And then, you know, like, here just walking Bailey in a stroller, like listening to these two fucking Mormons go on and on and on. And finally I was like, so like, where's the historical evidence for like the book that the Book of Mormon is from? Oh man, there's all sorts of historical evidence in, you know, Joseph Smith's diary. I'm like, nah, I'm going to need like some of the tablets in physical form. Like, shut the fuck up and leave me alone.
Religion is a comic book origin story.
Oh, dude.
That's popular now though.
For me, all of them, I'm just like, these are great, cool ideas. But they all sound ridiculous and fake to me now. So,
oh, I was listening to this podcast just the other day. I'm a dick.
We're not fucking promoting other podcasts. I won't
say the name. Motherfucker, I'm just kidding. Promoted I'm just kidding. Podcast I know.
They're in our fucking umbrella. It's a part of our production company. For like oh, that's cool right. 10. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Oh, shit.
I won't say the name. And
no, I don't give a fuck. I was just kidding.
It's a jar on the podcast. But they're talking about the two science nods, a couple. They're talking about how certain species can switch back and forth between male or female, or just become asexual and start cloning themselves.
Yeah.
Depending on their environment. And they don't know which species they are because the only time it happens is when a species is in such seclusion that it has to trigger that. And we never really see that unless like in a zoo or something. And usually it's really small, like, you know,
physical changes.
Yeah, not very like biologically crazy animals.
So fish do that.
Yeah, yeah. There were certain fish that do it. There
were jellyfish too, right?
Certain lizards. But they were also talking about even they think Komodo dragons do it, which is like a really complex, large creature. Animal,
yeah.
Well, that's how clownfish, that's how they are, like in the normal. It's not because of anything, but if you have a group of clownfish, whatever one is the biggest one is the female, and then the next one is the male, and then the other ones don't have a sex at all. Huh. And then if the female dies, the male will turn into the female, and then one of the asexual ones will turn into the male. It's pretty cool.
It just put like a weird thought in my head of like, if that's a biological path that can randomly be triggered in species that don't do it all the time.
Right.
Because like you're saying, there are creatures that just kind of have that path, but there are also animals that don't have that path at all.
So you're scared that your penis is going to fall off? No. And you're just going to turn into a woman?
But I was like, that kind of puts a – I mean, obviously this is like a religious thing. It doesn't really mean anything. But it puts a kind of cool – spin on like the Jesus thing of like, what if Mary was just some like weird genetic freak?
Like, she just cloned herself.
Yeah, that's weird. You know?
That is weird.
Huh?
Who knows?
Ancient aliens.
Trademark.
Jesus is a Komodo trademark. Dragon.
Yeah, nobody could steal that idea now. It's TOTLB's.
I want that T-shirt by the way. Yeah. Jesus is a Komodo dragon. That'd be sweet.
Jesus as a Komodo dragon?
No, Jesus is a Komodo dragon. I don't feel like
anybody. All right, the next.
That would be hilarious.
Your next shirt will say that. I promise.
Yeah, I don't think it will, but.
Why? Why not? Fuck, I'll make it happen.
Writing it down.
Yeah, fuck.
It's Doyle. Just one shirt.
That's your next shirt.
Make more.
That's all you need, bro. Yeah, yeah, just one.
Doyle.
We're going to take a break, you said?
Yeah.
Because I need to take a piss.
Let's take a break. We'll
you
come back.
Piss?
Yeah.
We'll come back with our pop culture classic, 1986's Manhunter, which is the first film featuring the villain Hannibal Lecter.
Hey, nobody told me about that. We just walked around the room for 20 minutes touching each other. It was really weird.
Attention, business owners, busy executives, entrepreneurs. Is work piling up? Is your inbox overflowing? Are you stressed for time and constantly falling behind? You need a virtual assistant. You need Albert Burge. Albert is a seasoned and proactive professional who will handle the day-to-day details so you can focus on what's important, growing your business. Albert's comprehensive list of services include scheduling, administrative support, customer service, client invoicing, website administration, database management. Hand off all of these tasks and more to Albert, your virtual assistant. No job is too big or too small. Contact Albert Burge at albertburgeva@gmail.com. That's albertburgeva@gmail.com. Albert has decades of experience in business administration, management, and web development. Let Albert do it so you don't have to. Don't wait. Email him at albertburgeva@gmail.com. You can't do it all. So stop trying. Stop running around in circles and start running your business with efficiency and profitability. Put yourself on the path to success. Hire a virtual assistant. Contact Albert Burge today at albertburgeva@gmail.com. That's albertburgeva@gmail.com. Peace of mind is only an email away. Hire Albert Burge to be your virtual assistant now.
Hi, this is Chris Mowry, writer of Godzilla Rulers of Earth and employee of IDW Publishing, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Intruder entered through kitchen sliding door.
Nationwide victims.
Yeah, this is Will Graham of the FBI.
One killer.
This is what the subject's teeth look like.
Seen blood on the moonlight well.
William, you're gonna make yourself sick or get yourself killed.
Multiple trails.
Just you and me now, sport.
One hunter.
I'm gonna find you, damn it.
FBI agent Will Graham, Manhunter.
Now we're recording.
And we're back.
Yay.
We were just sitting there talking about Doyle's second review on www.totlb.com. You can check that out there. And you can also watch our exclusive Patreon videos where today we talked about Lost in Space, the Netflix reboot. You can find that at patreon.com/TOTLB. But right now we are going to talk about our pop culture classic chosen by Patreon supporter Jason Wells.
Oh, he sent an email about it too.
Awesome. So
of course he did.
Yeah, dude, he's
he's good.
He's good.
You're overachieving son of a bitch. But are you here? You're never here.
He was here last time.
I know, he was here on the last episode. Manhunter, 1986, directed by Michael Mann, and holy fuck does it show.
So he fucking named it after himself.
No, maybe. It's possible. Starring William Peterson, who's been in like every permutation of CSI known to man, Kim Grest, Joan Allen, Brian Cox, which we are working on nailing down something with.
Now it's not going to happen because you said
I'm super excited about that. Dennis Farina. Dennis Farina, who just wants Frankie Four Fingers.
Yeah.
And Tom Noonan, who is fucking creepy and weird in this
movie. I tried
movie.
To get an interview with him.
I know, I saw
his
that.
People said no.
You got close, though.
Yeah, his people said that he thought that it would take too much time and energy to prepare for something about the movie.
Because it was such a long time ago. So, but that's okay.
That's
like,
fine. Yeah,
at
it
least,
is what it is.
So
I reach out to a lot of people's people, bro. We get a lot of denials. It happens.
No, that's just a weird reason. Like too much energy.
I think he's old. I think he's an older dude.
He's got to stop and like really think back on like a movie he made in 1986, man.
Yeah, bro. That was fucking
a long
32
ass time
years
ago.
Based
on the Thomas Harris book.
No, it really was.
I know.
31, I think.
I was 1 year old.
I was negative one.
I was 2 years old.
I was
fucking
eight.
Old.
Jesus, I was eight.
You're old.
Yeah.
So the guy was 30.
I was 43.
Gabe was trying to finger bang the girl next door.
Oh. No.
When I was 8, I definitely was not doing that. I was definitely reading an assload of comic books.
Finger in his ass.
Based on the Thomas Harris book.
Passive.
Let me just get through the fucking beginning of this segment. Fuck. It's based on the Thomas Harris book Red Dragon. It's the first film adaptation to have Hannibal Lecter in it. Tom Noonan actually isolated himself from the rest of the cast during the entire filming so that he would basically feel more isolated and also kind of like freak out the other actors when they see him. His character, the killer, isn't seen in the movie till like minute 55, which incidentally is halfway through because this is like a 2 hour long movie. And then the scene where the girl is laying on the tiger, real tiger, real sedated tiger. That's fucking terrifying as shit.
Yeah, buddy. They didn't give a fuck back then.
Yeah.
Look at Roy.
This is true.
Probably says in the credit, tiger was harmed in the filming of the didn't give a shit at all.
Sorry, Peter.
All right. I'm going to read this real quick for Jason.
Yeah.
Jason Wells, our Patreon supporter, sent in... Watched Manhunter last night, and overall, I think it's still a pretty watchable thriller / genre film. I didn't see this when it first came out in the theaters, but caught it in the early 90s after Silence of the Lambs became a hit. I'd also read the source book, Red Dragon, before seeing the movie, and I recall at the time being a little disappointed. The film doesn't change any of the main story arcs, but the book has a more shocking and dark ending. By comparison, the movie feels a little anticlimactic and too tidy. That aside, the movie is still engaging. I know this story really well. It's now been in two movies and was also covered in the excellent and underwatched TV series Hannibal from a few years back. Possible future PCC, by the way. Even knowing what's happening, I was still engaged and anxious in a few parts. The only parts of the movie I find problematic / amusing are when they try to play out Graham's internal dialogue, with William Peterson acting it. He's a decent actor, but some of those lines are cringeworthy. You did it, didn't you? You son of a bitch. Or I'm gonna get you, you son of a bitch. Classic. Anyways, thumbs up. This movie is a must-watch for anyone who enjoys the Lecter saga or psycho thriller films.
Or if you're a son of a bitch.
So
I'm one of those.
Nah, no.
Tim and I got super, super stoned.
What a surprise.
So watching this movie...
I think I found the reason to his grilly level shits.
Why?
Because he gets super, super stoned here, and then he thinks he could just mix and eat whole fucking pallets of food.
Bags of chips and, like, fucking chicken nuggets and, like...
Shit not delicious, though.
Those chips were delicious, fucking though. Amen. Yeah,
I'm sure they were, but they're not meant... You're not supposed to eat a whole family-sized bag by yourself.
Sweet chili Doritos dipped into like jalapeno cheddar in them my mouth.
Okay. No, I'm not judging you, because I'm a fat guy. I eat a lot of stuff, but that's on the normal.
I think you're munchie shaming me, okay?
So anyway,
hashtag me too.
We got man,
and it's back.
So watching this movie,
Ashton's gonna kick your
ass.
It
was super, super intense. Like being as stoned as I was, holy crap!
So it's listed. I don't know where Alicia found this, but it's listed as a horror film.
So I think that's
kind of
horror thriller, mostly.
It's
thriller,
mostly like a suspense crime thriller.
She's like, I didn't want to watch this. She didn't watch Silence of the Lambs, and I was like, it's not like a scary movie. I mean, it's like a mystery kind of. Yeah, it was weird.
Silence of the Lambs is like a disturbing movie.
It was, but it's not like horror. Holy shit, that's a lot of Ferrero Rocher.
I just know how much you like it, and we got them for Christmas. I was like, we should give these to Doyle.
Oh, I appreciate it.
No, here's the thing. Their grandmother gave Hannah all these. A 6-year-old does not need this shit.
But you do. You do. I like them
more than a 6-year-old, so. I do like them.
I know.
We can all have some if you want.
I watched you eat like 80 of those in one shot one time.
That is a lot of fucking chocolate. Holy shit.
I don't eat them that much anymore.
So I actually hate them now.
No, I don't hate them, but, you know, I got fat. I'm trying not to get fatter. Over the course of a couple weeks.
What, with the Aquaman Namor, you're trying to slim down?
Trying to loosen up, yeah, a little bit. Drop 5 pounds.
Feeling a little more nimble.
I like how the last episode, by the way, was nothing to do with Manhunter. You guys spent like 30 minutes trying to not fat shame me at the beginning of it. I was like, I know that I'm fat. Like, it's not unknown to me.
I think that was him. Oh. I think it was him.
He goes back and forth. It's like, he's big. He's not like big. I'm like, dude, I'm a fat guy.
Like, Gabe's the one who's like, when the two of us are in my car, I can't shift.
Yeah, we touch. Like, we touch. We,
I was like, I'm not one of those guys who can't do anything.
We That's literally fill up my whole fucking car, so.
It's like, I'm a fat guy, I can work. I do a lot of shit. I just am also fat. I work in a freezer. I gotta.
Manhunter, thumbs up. Yay, cool.
It's pretty good. It's a good movie.
So, like, for me,
you
like.
Really hunted those men.
we were high enough to, like, really break down more than a few of those scenes.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird for being that high.
We were extremely
analytical.
There were some, like, really, really interesting, like, ideas.
Just thought you were being analytical.
No, there were some
relevant shit being said.
There were some really interesting ideas and, like, some really, like, intense stuff that was, like, happening. I agree. Like his inner monologue when he's like working through the process in his brain, it seems like a little like overdone,
right.
But it seemed to really work in the way that the film was like filmed and the way it was paced. Like if he didn't have that external internal dialogue, there would just be scenes of him sitting there making faces, you know, like it would just be silence.
I just want to see that movie.
There'd be like there would just be silence for like a couple minutes and he has to fill that up. There. So the other thing that was funny though is when he has the super intense like this is how the world is and this is how life is with his kid in the fucking grocery store. Like
I think that was my comment.
I was just like, this is weird.
This is like a 10-minute conversation in the grocery store.
Also, what aisle has cereal and canned corn?
And jam and jellies.
Oh yeah, that was it. Jam and jelly and canned corn.
Like in that scene, everything a grocery store has, period, is in that fucking aisle.
Vacuums, fucking jumping.
Shut the door all the way.
Ashton being told to do things.
Oh, that's every episode at my house. Is the kids getting yelled at for something?
Man,
what about it did you like / dislike? Like,
honestly, like. Like I said, I couldn't watch it for the. Well, I could have, but I did just watch the wrong movie.
Oh, dude, I totally forgot that.
But
sorry.
I have seen the movie before, but it's been fucking a long time. I remember liking the inner monologue stuff about the movie, though. Like
I did too.
Like, you felt like you got like this inside look. Whereas opposed, like normally when you see a movie like this, where it's just kind of a fucked up person doing fucked up shit, you're just like on the outside watching them do that. Where this is like you get to like know. The inner workings of why this is happening to this person,
yeah.
Like why he's doing it. So, but that's, I guess, the whole Hannibal Lecter story. You get that Silence of the Lambs and all the other shit too. But
so let's talk about how Brian.
So that
Cox
I think that's
is...
why it was because I haven't watched any of these movies in fucking forever. I don't think I've ever seen this one, but Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal, all of them. That I think that's why I kind of like it because it was very similar to those. I mean, it wasn't, and I don't know. I'm guessing it came first, right? Manhunter came first and then Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
But were they? But it sounded like people didn't know that Manhunter was connected to Silence of the Lambs.
I don't think Silence of the Lambs.
I don't know Manhunter exists.
I don't think Silence of the Lambs was really billed as like a sequel to Manhunter either. Like, I think they were kind of made independent of each other. They just both feature like the same character because they're both based on books written by the same guy. But
right.
At no point when Silence of the Lambs came out when the movie came out in the theater, was I ever under the impression that there was another movie featuring these characters?
I wasn't either. I saw Manhunter probably 10 years after.
I saw
pretty close.
Manhunter right before Red Dragon came out because I was on like a horror forum back
then. And that's a reboot.
Yeah, where Red Dragon is the same story as Manhunter.
Right.
But I remember right before Red Dragon came out, somebody made a post. It's like, all you people who are excited to see Red Dragon, you're aware that this has already been made as a movie. And I wasn't aware
and
of that.
Better,
and that was probably in 2000 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think a lot
out.
Of people liked the reboot to the prequel of the sequel to Silence of the Lambs.
I didn't really like Red Dragon.
It wasn't that great. But this – so one thing that I think Tim and I agreed on last night, he may not agree now.
Why, you were touching dicks?
Oh, she's kneading dough. She's doing something with the bread. That's what that is.
But she about to take the fucking roof down. She is kneading hard.
She's like,
she's a hard
thinking
kneader.
Thinking of one. Thinking of one.
She's practicing her Wakani battled.
Yeah, she's all Wakanda forever. Need that dough. Need that dough. I feel like Brian Cox is a significantly scarier Hannibal Lecter than Anthony Hopkins was. Yeah. Like, I liked his version of Hannibal Lecter better. Like, he seemed – I don't know. There's just something about him that seemed like, more menacing.
I feel like in Silence of the Lambs, he was meant to be toned down scary. Like, not overtly scary, if that makes any sense.
He's been like correctionalized in the system. Right. I mean, not really, but he has.
I don't know. It
kind of. In Silence of the Lambs.
It was cool, though. Like, this is – I like Jason's picks. I like your picks too, Doyle.
Sure.
I like your picks too, Doyle.
Comes out.
Because Doyle's picks are like the no-brainer.
Because Doyle's my best friend and he's here.
That I don't have to like really pay full attention to.
Yeah, I get it.
I can just be I can just be like, oh, look, Sylvester Stallone's arm wrestling.
Now you're going to drop some like incredibly cerebral fucking.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
What I had to watch.
It better not be fucking Battlefield Earth. That's all I'm saying. Jason's picks are like kind of thinker picks. Like I have to actually like watch and like super really think about the movie. And right. I really like that.
I like that he's choosing movies that he hasn't fucking seen in decades
and forever
too.
Either.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's cool.
I used to be really into listening to like film podcasts and like listening to film criticism.
That does sound like you.
Okay. It does, because I'm a pretentious prick. But now when I hear film critics on the radio, specifically Howie Mauschwitz, who fucking annoys the shit out of me because he can't just enjoy a movie.
Yeah.
But like I haven't like thought critically about film for a while because of how annoying it is to me to listen to, and I don't ever want to be that guy. But what's nice is being able to watch some of these kind of like thinker movies, I get to put that hat on a little bit and think about the direction and the music and the set design and stuff like that. Like there's so many scenes of the main character when he's at peace, the way it's always shot is him standing against a horizon from really far away. And his peacefulness, like the main police officer's peacefulness, is always centered around being with his family away from everybody else. And it's always shot that way. And it's just like a really cool idea that
that's my peacefulness.
He's only comfortable with himself when he's away from this crazy shit that he knows how to do. And they play with that a lot throughout the movie where he doesn't really want to be there doing the job, but he knows that he's like the only person that can do the job. And like, it's just it's really just a well-made movie, and it's made in a way that, you know, a lot of times movies just don't get made that way anymore. So I don't know. There are some moments though that are so ridiculously Miami Vice. It's like hard.
Love the era.
Like all the scenes where he's like grabbing people by the arm and flipping them over on the cars. And shit.
Yeah.
It's like this mild mannered fucking police officer's like fucking ace in judo.
Yeah, he went to one judo class and they taught the one flip.
He does it like every fight.
Also, the scene where he's kind of daydreaming about being on the boat with his wife and she walks up in the white sundress with like a six pack of Dos Equis. I was all,
yeah.
This is straight up a scene out of Miami Vice. Like, this is funny to see.
We both looked at each other and goes, I don't always drink Dos Equis.
I don't always hunt serial killers, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Oh no, it's a good movie. I for sure give it a thumbs up.
I like movies. I like thrillers. I like movies like that. I'll give it a thumbs up. It was good.
Nice.
I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I think the reason we don't get movies like that is because we don't anymore, or not as much, is because not a lot of people want to sit through shit like that. I don't think people want to think.
People want to see things exploding and craziness, and that's totally fine. But movies like this, like this still exist. It's just that they're independent films. A really good example of it is The Lobster. Like, The Lobster is totally, like, this weird thinker movie, really intense, lots of, like, strange sex and violence that's, like, integral to the movie but, like, so out of place that it's uncomfortable. or a movie like Moonlight is like just really beautifully shot, really well made. Like those kind of things, they exist out there. It's just that they're not blockbusters.
But like you,
and with, I don't think this was a blockbuster.
Like
either.
You with comics, the mainstream doesn't want to take chances on shit like that. They want to wait until it's out and see how people react to it, and then they'll fucking put their money in it.
And I think in general, the general public doesn't want to go to the movies to think. And that is totally understandable. Mm-hmm. People want to go to the movies to check out a life and be entertained.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, correct. That is exactly the movie they want to watch. It's Gladiator over and over again.
I love that movie.
And
fuck yeah.
And I have zero problems with that. I fucking love movies like that too. I also like movies as art. And those two things fill up different spaces and fill up different times in my mind. So it's cool when we take the time to watch something like this that's more like a quote-unquote film and enjoy that and talk about it. And then we also watch Black Panther, which is straight up a fucking movie.
I like, think that's why – I think in settings where I'm with people, that'll be the time when I watch movies like this.
Yeah.
The Shape of Water is a good example of that. I heard it was good. I probably was like, oh, I'll watch it eventually. And then Devin and Taylor came over and they're like, we should watch Shape of Water. And I was like, okay, let's watch it. And it turned out to be a beautiful fucking movie. But it's just not something that I'm like, yeah, I think I'll watch Runaways or I think I'll watch something else. Even though it sounds like it's a good fucking movie, it's just not something I like to watch by myself. I don't know.
I think that's what's awesome about doing the pop culture classic is, yeah, we watch some dumb stuff. Like Men in Black, that's a straight up movie. Like it's just a fun blast of a movie to watch. Holds up really good. It's super, super awesome. Like all of us fucking loved it and none of us had seen it in such a long time that it was awesome. But then we also sit down and watch something like Manhunter, which is like, I mean, if you really think about it, it is the exact fucking opposite of Men in Black. Like, it is.
There are no aliens.
I mean, it is slow paced. There are no aliens.
Stark contrast there.
You don't see the villain.
Very little black people either.
there are no black people in Manhunter. But it's it's cool. It's a big part of why I fucking love doing the pop culture classic is we just get to watch stuff that we don't watch.
Oh, I like it. I agree.
Should have called it White Hunter.
So next episode we are gonna watch.
I give it a thumbs up, motherfucker.
I heard you give it.
No,
a thumbs
you
up.
Didn't ask him.
Oh, sorry.
I interrupted.
Oh, okay. You interrupted.
It's tentative because I haven't seen it for a long time, but I do remember liking it.
You should definitely watch it again. Like, it is worth watching for sure.
So next week, watch Manhunter, since you've already watched Conan.
And then come back and talk to us about Manhunter instead of Conan.
Conan or Conan?
It depends.
You watch whatever you want.
I typically say it Conan. I don't know.
Conan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how his dad kind of says his name in the movie. Conan. Like, so.
What is the secret of iron?
So.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
I know. That's why we're watching it. Like, I specifically said we got to watch
this. This is the one with Schwarzenegger?
Yeah. I'm going to hand you the DVD before you take off.
There's only ones with Schwarzenegger.
Is there? I don't know.
No,
I don't watch any
Jason
Conan
Momoa
ones.
There's a Jason Momoa one.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's a new. I don't even count that as a
dude,
movie.
Fuck you. The Jason Momoa Conan is awesome. I will punch you in your dick.
I remember seeing it.
You don't say shit about Conan. Get out of my house.
Don't get your shoes on. Don't pass go. Get the fuck out.
Walk out of my house. Stand away. Nope. No bad words about Conan.
Man,
Conan, so if you haven't figured it out, next episode our pop culture classic is Conan the Barbarian starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Conan O'Brien
starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. That would be amazing. I am talk show host
Conan the Manhunter.
Conan the Manhunter. That sounds like a Conan gay porno parody.
Why is it going to go there?
Saying that's what it sounds like. Be sure to check out Conan the Barbarian. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter with your opinions on Manhunter or Conan or literally anything that we've talked about as a pop culture classic.
Is my next pick after that pick then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
it's Jason, us, Jason, got us, it. You, us.
So if you know what you're going to pick, because you – okay, what's going to be after Conan?
Battlefield Earth.
No.
Dude, I'm waiting for it. He's going to sit on that for like a year.
Time Cop.
So what's another one I gotta sit on? No, it's gonna be. Have you seen Near Dark?
Oh yes,
with Bill Paxton.
No. That is an awesome movie.
That's who just died, right? Recently, not too long ago.
I think so.
Bill Paxton.
I think you're gonna like Near Dark.
It might be one of my favorite Bill Paxton movies. It's up there.
Nice.
I mean, Twister's up there, too.
I mean, Twister. Aliens.
I don't consider Aliens a Bill Paxton movie, although he's amazing in it.
Game over, man.
Yeah.
Sharpened stick.
The new guy at work has a water bottle that just has Bill Paxton's picture on it and says, "Game over, man, game over." I was like, that's crazy. You don't seem like a nerd, but that is a nerd-ass thing to have on your water bottle.
That don't have crazy explosions and random shit. This is like biker gang, vampires, explosions, and guns.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yes, you're going to love Near Dark.
Think of like Lost Boys if the 80s did more.
I don't know. That was pretty fucking 80s.
So it sounds like we have an awesome lineup. Conan, The Barbarian, and then after that, Near Dark. So be sure to hit us up. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. Instagram and Twitter at outside long box.
You can also make picks. We have one more.
That is correct. We have one more slot for choices, and I'm going to talk to you about something like that afterwards.
Oh shit!
But
right. After hours.
If you want to be one of the producers that helps us pick our pop culture classics, just visit us at patreon.com/TOTLB, and you too can join the ranks of Patreon supporters.
I'm sorry, Jason. I'm getting on your shirt right away. He's like the last one that I need a shirt for. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You've picked good picks too. Doyle should have got his shirt fucking last.
Everyone's mine.
Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna do the old man segment.
We're gonna do old men.
What? Lemon party?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll get you back to your podcasty goodness now in a minute.
First, we'd like to take a second to tell you about our marginally better podcast, the 365 Flex Podcast.
I am the Scottish Whedon whore, Chris.
And I am the pissy ex-video store clerk, Kev.
And we bring you the latest movie and TV news, reviews, and rants.
All that and a bunch of top fives that you really will not care about.
Subscribe to us on iTunes, Libsyn, and all other third-party podcasting apps.
And on top of all that, you'll get free access to our indie talk. You'll hear us speaking with directors, producers, actors, comic book creators and artists about their experiences.
Don't forget to drop us 5 stars and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters.
Told him not to go in the water.
Hi, this is Barbara Dillon.
And Brian Dillon.
From Fanbase Press.
And you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. On the line, we have Brian Cox. He's been in tons of different movies that you've seen. I know that you guys are going to be really excited to hear this interview tying in with our pop culture classic, Manhunter. Mr. Cox, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm fine. I've just finished filming, so... Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just nicely chilled.
That's awesome. It's got to be a huge relief to get done with a project and then just have some time to relax.
Oh, tell me about it.
So we kind of start off all of our interviews with, you know, what's the origin story of whatever it is that we're talking about? And from you today, I would like to know, what was the origin of you getting to work on the movie Manhunter?
Over 30 years ago. I was actually doing a play on off-Broadway at the Puppet Theater in New York. And it was an Irish play. It was a play called Rat in the Skull, which I'd actually won an award. I won an Olympia Award back in the UK for, and we were playing with the public. And I got a call one day from this casting director. Well, I got a call through my agent saying a casting director called Bonnie Timmerman would like to meet you about this role in this film called Manhunter. And they sent me the script, and I read it, and I thought, wow, this is a really interesting role. So I went to see Bonnie, and she said, will you do a reading for me? And I said, sure. So I went back, and I took the actor I was playing with, and I said to him, I said, Phil, called Phil Jackson, I said, would you read this other character for me? And he said, Yeah, sure. So he came, and we went there, and we were in the studio. We were set up, and there was a, you know, camera on me. And Bonnie said to me, she said, would you mind turning away from the camera? And I said, what? She said, would you mind just if I didn't see you for a bit? Sure. Yeah. I said, this is the most strangest film kind of audition ever, where you don't want to see the guy. So I said, okay. And I said, so I did it. And then she said, oh, that was great. She said, do it again. And then in the middle of it, to use, turn around and talk to the actor. So I did that. And you know, went well, the interview went well. And at the end of it, when we'd done the recording, I said to her, I said, listen, why is it you wanted me not to see my face? I said, so I don't. She said, well, you know, I arrived late at the theater and I was sitting in a very bad seat. And all I could hear, really, just the angle where I was sitting, I couldn't see you for at least 5 minutes. And all I could do was hear your voice. And it was your voice that got me going and just thought, wow, this is the voice of Hannibal Lecter. And I said, oh, okay. So she sent the tape to Michael Mann, and then I went to meet Michael. The rest is history.
So Michael Mann has a very distinctive, style, like, with his shows and the movies that he's made. Was it different working for him and his, very particular brand of movie making?
No, really. I mean, Michael works. I mean, Michael is a great believer. I mean, he felt, I think wrongly, I have to say, he felt that the Brits weren't very psychological in their approach to work. I sort of disagree with him there. And I said, okay, I'll buy that if you say it, if that's what you feel. So he was very into the psychology of, what made Lecter tick and what have you. But also, he's a stylist. In any film he does, he has a very particular talent. He's very, very influenced by the David Hockney blues, those kind of shimmering blues and white, sort of nighttime colors. And so I remember that when we did the scene, I rehearsed the scene in Wilmington. We were filming in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I rehearsed the scene with Billy Peterson, who was playing Graham Scott. What is his name? Is that character? What's the character called again? Will Graham. We were playing Will Graham. And anyway, we were, and he shot it, and he shot on a white set. And he had me all in white with socks and everything. And, I mean, a barrage of lights. It was Dante Spinotti who was the light DP. So there was a barrage of white light, which I could barely see over. I could barely see Bill Peterson when I was playing the scenes because he was so in the dark and I was so illuminated. And then I actually did get I started the film off and as a homage to Bonnie Timmerman, I started Lecter off by actually turning away from the camera. So all you heard was my voice. That was my little homage to Bonnie Timmerman.
That's interesting. Like when you're watching the movie, it has such a distinctly 80s feel to it, but it's still, with the exception of maybe some of the costuming for the other characters, has kind of like this timelessness feel to it because it's so distinctly like visually different than most psychological style thrillers. Having the chance to work with Mann and work with the palettes and his kind of very visually stunning, repertoire. How do you kind of prepare yourself for working within the confines of that? Is there anything special that you need to do?
No, not really. It doesn't change. The acting is basically the same. The environment is, within the production designer and the DP and the director's providence. That's what they do. And we did the scenes several different ways. I mean, he would ask for variations on a theme, lots of variations. So I did it every which way you could imagine. I just went along with it and said, if you do it that way, I could do it like this, I could do it like that. And he kind of bought that. And, you know, I mean, I remember one of the things I kind of insisted on was I said, I think Lecter should wear two pairs of socks. And he said, why? I said, because he's got to be in his cell. He won't wear shoes. So I think he has one pair of socks that he wears to walk around and another pair of socks he wears to just lie in bed with. So we shot him with two pairs of socks on. That was just a little quirk of character, you know. And so there was that kind of detail that crept in. And then the famous I've lost the use of my hands scene when he gets Will's number. I mean, that was just one camera locked off in a very narrow focus. And I came in and I played it and I'd gum and did the whole thing, you know, with the camera off screen. And then you cut around to me, you know, so my hands doing the stuff trying to get to rip down a Rolodex and get Will's number. So it was very, you know, technically challenging, clearly, you know, Michael had a clear view of it, and we pursued that, you know. In fact, at one time, there was it was the time of the Stevie Wonder song, you know, I just called to say I love you. And in the nighttime call that he has for me, you know, Will, and I'm lying there on my bunk and I'm talking to him, I started off by singing that song. But they realized it was going to cost too much money, so they cut it from the film.
That's awesome. So, when you were coming into this movie, you know, the novels had already come out, or I believe Red Dragon had already come out that this movie's based on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Did you ever expect that this character would become such a iconic, like, horror/? You know, suspense thriller icon. I mean, it's just it.
No.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. I didn't. I'll be quite honest with you. I'm still reel a bit from the whole thing. I mean, the thing that I loved about the Hannibal Lecter of Manhunter is his mystery, that we didn't know who he was. We have no idea who he was. It's reported what he's done. It's reported the killings he's made. But we just see the man in this situation. But we don't know about him. We don't. It's all told. It's all, you know, it's said off screen or said by other characters. So we're just seeing the man and we're meeting him straight on. And I remember seeing these wonderful interviews with Ted Bundy. And the great thing about Ted Bundy was his plausibility. He was so plausible. I mean, he was as mad as a grasshopper, but but he had this kind of amazing sort of plausible nature where everything, I think he sort of either conducted or certainly contributed to his own defense. So in that sense, I was very, it was a really interesting kind of character to play. And I just thought, this is a very, this man is mysterious. We don't know who he is, and that's great. And then, you know, what happened later with the, I thought it was going to take off. I thought it was going to be a success. But the film, I mean, I have a history of this. I have a history of creating things which then go on to something else, and other people do it. But The film for me was, I just thought this was such a good thriller, and it was very well received. It opened, but the problem was that what's his name went bust. Dino De Laurentiis, who produced the film, he went bust, so he couldn't get it into the cinemas that he wanted to. So the film opened and had great reviews, but he was an escrow with the film, so it didn't actually play as much as it should have played. And therefore, it became this cult classic because it didn't have the profile that Silence of the Lambs had. But of course, over the years, and when Silence of the Lambs came out, NBC put it on as The Pursuit of Hannibal Lecter. That's what they called it, Manhunter, The Pursuit of Hannibal Lecter, which of course is a nonsense of the title. But it was the biggest, at that time, it was the biggest TV movie that NBC had ever had for viewership. So it was kind of weird in a way. And the other irony, which is one of the great ironies of that whole thing, is that when I was doing Manhunter, I remember meeting Tony Hopkins. And Tony Hopkins was about to play King Lear at the National Theatre here in the UK. And the irony was that when he was doing Silence of the Lambs, I was playing King Lear at the National Theatre in the UK. So it was kind of, it was a sort of strange thing. And I, of course, it was difficult for me to go and see Tony in his performance. I had to go into, I had to go to Paris. I was in Paris and I went to see it in Paris, you know. And of course, the difference is, you know, obvious between him and me. He's a wonderful, great actor, but he's also quite theatrical. And I was doing, you know, what I thought was something else, you know, something that was, you know, I was creating somebody who was, you know, I had grown up in Scotland and there was a guy called Peter Manuel. And having seen, as I say, Ted Bundy, this guy Manuel, who I remember reading about him when I was a young kid, I became obsessed by him. He was the sort of first of the serial killers in the late 50s. And he ended up killing something like 13 people and he had plans to kill a lot more. But he also conducted his own defense in prison, in court, and he was this little, he was of Portuguese extraction, he was a handsome old guy, but he was quite small, you know, quite petite, and he actually accused one of the guy's families that who he murdered, he killed the wife and the daughter, he accused him, he almost take up that he'd actually paid him to do these killings, and these other killings were a front. You know, and nearly got away with it, but he did, you know, he overstepped the mark. So there was this quite brilliant mind at work, and so that stayed with me. And he's somebody that was there so that I could exercise his character through Hannibal.
So kind of talking about, you know, the preparation for the character, you know, you mentioned this guy, and then you've mentioned watching interviews with Ted Bundy. Did you do a lot of research into serial killers, or specifically like cannibalistic serial killers, in preparation for the role?
No, not really. I mean, I just had these images of Peter Manuel and the image of the plausibility of Ted Bundy. I mean, I remember Bundy and Bundy's little ruses with, you know, the broken arm and all of that. And I was seeing the program. I was very taken by that. I was very impressed. And he was a kind of very good looking guy too. So that his warpness was sort of something that was really, you know, much later, I played Hermann Göring in a TV thing, which I won an Emmy for, funny enough, about Hermann Göring and about the Nuremberg process and about all those people who were, you know, really had played with evil and became quite evil and not so much. I mean, actually, Göring wasn't really as responsible as other people were, but the whole of the thing of the death camps, you know, the concentration camps that became death camps and the rise of the Holocaust. And the guy who wrote this book on Nuremberg, he just said the great thing was that was missing was a lack of empathy. The fact is that these people had no empathy. And I remember thinking previously, going back, and this was in 1990, so at the end of 1990, so it was going back something like 15 years to Manhunter at that point. And I was remembering that that was also a motivating force for, you know, when he says, but you're different, you're mad, is that, of course, he doesn't think of himself in any other way, and he doesn't have empathy. He has no sense. He has got no moral compass at all. And that's what seemed to me really interesting, was the intellectual idea. And my thing about Hannibal was that he was an intellect. He was a very smart man, like Ted Bundy was. And that his evil was rooted in something that was really a tremendous flaw in his personality, that he didn't have empathy for anybody. So that made him really rather psychopathic.
Is it kind of personally scary acting out this role and kind of, you know, obviously acting in some ways is pretending, but you have to really inhabit that. It kind of make you feel creepy? Yeah,
I played roles where I really played characters which made me feel creepy. I mean, I played this character in Rob Roy. He was a sort of voyeur, fallen angel character called Colin, brilliantly written. He was like a watcher of all the horror that was going on around him, but not necessarily a partaker.
I saw that movie in the theater like 5 times.
you remember the character I played.
Yeah.
And he was a character I absolutely loathed living with because he was just such a creep. I had never played such a creep. I found it really hard. But the thing about Lecter is that Lecter is very smart. And it's his intellectual sensibility, which was the thing that really appealed to me. So I never found him creepy. I found him, I could see why he was scary, because there was no end to, because he had no compass. He was just without, he had no bearings. He just was this loose cannon who behaved in this kind of primitive but highly intellectual and mind with a kind of primitive sensibility. So I just found Lecter really interesting in terms of just and I'm also not one of these actors. I mean, it's horses for courses, but, you know, there are the Dan Day-Lewises who live the part, breathe the part, you know, and do it. And I work with actors who do the same. You can't talk to them. They're in the character. They're doing that. And, you know, whatever gets you through the day, it's not my method, you know, because I believe at the end of the day, you have to be able to be in charge, really in charge. And you have to, it's like anything, you have to be able to turn on a sixpence. And to turn on a sixpence, to suddenly go from one thing to the other, you really have to have skill. It requires skill. And the imagination, to me, is all powerful. I mean, Einstein said that he felt that imagination was greater than knowledge and more important than knowledge. I feel the same. I feel imagination is more closer to truth than sometimes what we think is truth. Because imagination just moves in a much quicker way, at the speed of light. And you see it, you know, in children. I mean, I love children as actors. I have a video online. It's called Brian Cox's Masterclass with Theo. And it's on YouTube. You can look it up. And it's a little boy doing Shakespeare. I teach him to be or not to be. And this kid is so quick. He doesn't do any research. He doesn't do any preparation. I edge a little nuance towards him, and he intuits it totally. And what he does, you know, when he does slings and arrows, you go, wow, this kid's only 2.5 years old, and he's doing it. And I go back to that. That's what children do. And they toss it off. They throw it off. And I think that's what actors have to do. That's what I believe. That's why I do not believe in the whole Strasberg thing, the emotional memory and all of that. Yes, go into it, look at it, observe it, and then codify it into the imaginative shape.
That's interesting. Like, it's fascinating to hear different people talk about their process, and the intuitive nature of using your imagination is so firmly ingrained in us when we're children, and it's almost like people push that out of us. And for somebody to create a method of acting that is so ingrained in you that you just need to revisit being a kid and pretending, it's awesome.
But I think it's the source of all great art. I mean, Picasso, Beethoven, you know, they were skilled craftsmen, and they were highly imaginative. I mean, Beethoven had all those tunes going inside his deaf skull where he couldn't hear, but what he heard inside in his imagination was tremendous. And the way Picasso could do a film like that wonderful Clouseau film of Picasso, where he paints on glass, and he paints several masterpieces in about 4 minutes. And you, as the camera is shooting it and he's changing it, you're going, oh, that, oh, that's it. Oh, no, leave that. And he's not. He's just going on and changing it and changing it and changing. He's a true artist, and he's a true, what's the word? He's a true medium of his own imagination. And that's more important than anything else. Much more important than being able to feel or suffer or anything like that. That is all you can pretend, all of that.
That's amazing, because, you know, you basically get to live being a kid for a job. That's really neat.
But that's what it is. Yeah. It's what it is. But it's not unlike life. You know, life is a series of little games that we play every day. We play the game of getting up and getting ready. We play the game of going, standing and waiting for a bus, or we play the game of getting a taxi. They're all little performances. They're all a series of little performances that we do on a daily basis, and we all do it. It's like brushing our teeth. We brush our teeth at night, and we do it because we know why we're doing it, but eventually it's a performance.
That's amazing. It's a joyful way of looking at life that I need to definitely adopt.
But it's also kind of the artist's way, I think. It's not that you don't acknowledge pain. You look at pain and you say, God, that's interesting. Pain. Yes, I must remember that. I must put that into a context sometime. And that's what you do. You put it into a context. You know, you call upon it, but you don't live in the middle of it. You use it like you'd use a particular and very unusual color on a palette board.
Huh, that's cool. Like, it's on the way back to my home where I'm doing the interview from, I was listening to a radio show, and they were talking about synesthesia. And, that's kind of an interesting way to look at it, this idea that, you know, our emotions and our physical feelings are just different colors, like in your brush, you know, for the canvas that's you're acting, or my life, and how.
Absolutely. I think that's a very good analogy. There really are. There are different palettes, different colors that you can use. And an actor does that. That's why when an actor talks about my character wouldn't, you go, bollocks, wrong. You don't know what your character would do. You just don't know what you're going to do. You know you're going to go through a series of performances, but you don't ultimately know. There's always a step into the unknown. There's a step into something which is dangerous territory where you have to improvise a situation. And of course, when you improvise, you use the imagination.
That's awesome. So, you know, we've taken a bit of a trip down memory lane going to Manhunter that was, you know, 30 years ago almost now. What kind of things are you working on now that you know, you said you had just finished filming, and I'd love to know what things are about to come out.
Well, I'm doing a very interesting series written by a group of English writers and some American writers, but it's in England. The writing room is in London, but we actually film in New York, and it's a sort of black satire comedy dramedy of a media family, and I play a character called Logan Roy, who is the head of the family. He is the patriarch, and he is in media. That's his sphere. That's the sphere that he lives in. He's an old-fashioned newspaper man who's become a media giant, you know. But he is Logan Roy. He's not Conrad Black, and he's not Donald Trump, and he's not Rupert Murdoch. He's Logan Roy, and he has this family. And really what the story is about, it's about the fall, the kind of how your children are really subject to the conditions that you create for them. And if you're very wealthy and you create a set of conditions where they have no sense of the world other than the world they're in, there's a kind of danger and kind of doom sort of path on that, especially if the kids have any major flaws in their own personalities. So the series I'm doing is called Succession, and it's about a man who tries to give his empire away. Well, it's not about a man, it's about a family. But the centrifugal force is the father, who, like King Lear, tries to give his family, tries to give his wealth away, and finds his children cannot deal with it. And so therefore he takes it all back, or he thinks he cannot deal with it. And it's about the effect on their lives, how they're constantly being maneuvered into positions where they have been. And he feels deeply responsible for the fact that his children are totally screwed. But there's nothing he can do about it, because that's the deal that you do when you move into a certain realm of life, and especially if you have children that you don't put into another, you know, like take them out and bury them, you know, put them in a little hut somewhere up in the, you know, northern Canada.
Right.
You know, you have them with you 24 hours. And it's something I've found with my own kids, you know, that, you know, I'm having a relatively successful career. My kids are sort of very blasé about certain things. And I'm going, hey, boys, it's hard work. You know, this wasn't easy to get here. But at the same time, it's wrong of me to assume that, because their lives are the lives that they lead. And they live within these confines. They live within the confines or the conditions, rather, that I've laid down and that my wife has laid down. So it's not altogether their fault. It's just that they are victims of time and tide and circumstance. And so this is really about family, and it's about the whole nature of wealth and how wealth is distancing people more and more and more, and the fact that wealth is seemingly breaking moral compasses, that our morality is rapidly disappearing. We have the sense of right and wrong there's a fine line between it now. So, you know, and I play the patriarch. I play the guy who's kind of a bit like Macbeth. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't necessarily agree with what he's doing, but it's the only thing he can do given the fact that it's the way he is. And also, because he is part of the media and part of that world, and the thing his children don't understand is it's a game. And he sees life as a game. And it's playing that game, you know, with all its fun element and all its danger element, all the elements going for it. But ultimately, it's a game. What his children see it as a kind of life, and that's where they get screwed. And that's a kind of interesting kind of idea, you know.
It sounds fascinating. And the guy who's
the main writer is a guy called Jesse Armstrong, who is essentially, he comes from the comic. He wrote some of Veep,
so
he comes from a comic thing. And there's some comic elements in this, but it's kind of, there's a sort of sliver of darkness that goes all the way through it. And it's 10 episodes, and it starts June 3rd on HBO in the States. And then I think it's probably going to be on Sky Atlantic June 4th, usually the day after in the UK and Europe.
Well, if it's an HBO show, I'm sure it's going to be killer. They've been making some of the most phenomenal television over the last, like, 10, 15 years. So, Well,
I've just been speaking to a journalist before you, and she had seen the pilot and was full of praise.
Ah, that's amazing. Sorry, our entrance into interviewing you is from 30 years ago.
Oh, no. It's as my mother says, what's for you will not go by you, even if it's 30 years ago.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for your time. We really, truly appreciate it. It's an honor to talk to you. You've been an actor that I've loved in so many different hilarious and scary and fun movies that it's truly been a pleasure. We really appreciate your time. Is there any specific social media way that people can find you and keep track of, you know, your show when it comes out or any other projects that you're working on?
Yeah, I mean, no, so, I'm not, you know, I'm the usual Facebook and Instagram, so I don't tweet. I think tweeting is problematic, but I do like Facebook. I mean, I read Facebook a lot, and occasionally there'll be an occasional post from me, but and Instagram.
Awesome. Well, thanks again so much for your time. We really, truly appreciated having you on.
And thank you. Sorry about the problems with the calls.
Oh, it's okay. As soon as it's worked out, it's perfect.
Hello, I'm Albie.
And I'm Heather.
And we do the Quantum Leap Podcast. It can be found at quantumleappodcast.com and also on iTunes.
We are starting at the beginning of Quantum Leap and going through all the episodes. This is my first time watching, and Albie has seen them during their original run.
In each podcast, we talk about the overall thoughts of each episode. We do an episode recap if you haven't seen them in a while, just to refresh your memory. And then we do a detailed plot discussion.
And we also have some great interviews.
Scott Bakula, I remember being very, very generous of spirit and very, very kind to his fellow actors. It was my first kiss ever. So I am getting to kiss Scott Bakula on screen.
And everybody involved with it was just terrific. And I'm always amazed that people come up to me and remember that episode and can quote things from it that I can't even quote.
So if you're a leaper, it'd be great if you came and joined us. And if you've never heard of Quantum Leap, it's maybe a good time to start watching it because you have a podcast to go along with it.
So please give our podcast a listen, and hopefully you like us and stick around.
Go to quantumleappodcast.com to listen to new episodes.
This is Yehudi Mercado, writer, illustrator of Hero Hotel, and you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box.
Mystery is made possible by the annual financial support from viewers like you.
I didn't record that.
Oh.
Now we're recording, though.
Oh, we are?
We're back.
Oh, and we're back! It's the shortest physical break I think we've ever taken. I usually at least get up out of my seat and walk around a little bit.
I like to let my dick fall below my balls for a minute when I stand up.
Oh, wow.
That's a complete lie. Your dick never falls below your balls.
So I'm standing.
It's gently on top.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
I do like to imagine
like
that.
A piece of nigiri sushi.
Yes.
Slightly cocked to the side.
So, right before this segment, you heard some semi-classical music and a lady making...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, you did?
And that is the trailer, or not the trailer, but the intro to my old man pick this episode. So this episode, my old man pick, is a PBS show that used to come on when I was young called Mystery. And Mystery would feature like Hercule Poirot or Miss Marple doing like these little mini mystery movies, you know, the same like the Agatha Christie books adapted for television kind of thing.
Like the Tales from the Crypt?
No, not
but
like...
not like horror?
Not horror. Definitely just straight mystery. But it was always the same characters.
Oh, okay.
Agatha Christie has like specifically like Hercule Poirot, who's this Belgian guy who was the main protagonist in Murder on the Orient Express, which is why this is coming up. So
why we talked about that stupid movie earlier.
Why we're talking about this stupid TV show now. So Mystery, the introduction to the show, and this actually has a little bit more to do with the introduction than the actual show, was written or was drawn and animated by a guy named Edward Gorey, who did a book called The Gashly Crumb Tinies and did these... He's kind of
he
like...
Does he do horror books? Because that's he's the kind, perfect name for horror books.
Well, so he's kind... He's kind... He's kind of Tim Burton before Tim Burton. Okay. Like, he does funny, creepy, silly, cartoony dead kids. Like, in so the introduction to it was this little animation done with his art with some music. And it was kind of funny, but it also, like, really creeped me out when I was a little kid. But then the payoff of the actual show was like this really talk heavy murder mystery kind of thing that when you're a little kid, you just do not care about. So it was funny because I would always be really excited to watch the show because the introduction was so creepy and weird and kind of scary. And then the show itself was always so boring when I was a kid. But when I went back and watched them as an adult, they're these really cool, just really solid murder stories. Like think any kind of like private detective, you know, TV show that you've watched. Right. Everything from what's the Angela Lansbury, like Murder, She Wrote kind of feel. Where they're like just really interesting, solid mystery shows. Like there are a lot of perms on that show. Not quite as many perms as Lazy Eyes in Black Panther, though. So
there it is. I knew it was going to make its appearance sooner or later.
How come when you're black and you get to be like 50, you just get a lazy eye?
Oh my God. Holy shit. Gabe's dead. Wow.
I just go by Hollywood standards.
Buddy.
Come full circle. Yeah. Get a fucking lazy eye.
Shit. I'm definitely sending this audio to your mom.
Oh man.
Lazy eyes actually work in the direction that they're cocked.
Yes.
So that's like extra vision.
Except for
I'm just wondering about it. Like, I mean, I don't know the science, you know.
Except for you're missing like this part of your vision.
You wing.
So you got like a little block down here, but you can see like a little bit more to the right. Seems like that'd be an advantage.
Like a goddamn lizard.
He's like, let me hold on, I can see around the corner.
And derailed completely.
Holy fuck.
Other people besides black people get them. It just seems older black people get them more often than not.
I don't think that's true at all.
I can't think of any other people besides black people.
I don't really know many black people in my life, so.
I don't know many people with lazy eyes.
No. I just don't know.
Oh, man.
So what's weird is I work with a lot of black people. Most of them are younger than 50. The one that's not has a fucking lazy eye.
Maybe somebody punched him.
Maybe he got punched in the head or something.
Maybe, you know.
Yeah, some racist.
I'm not racist. Just tell it as it is.
KD Trump.
He's a truthist.
You want me to go get your hood?
You make America great again, hat.
It's expensive.
You settled for the hat.
I settled for the red baseball cap.
I got the sash.
And the cheeky torches.
I just went with the sash.
Oh, man.
Couldn't anyway. Afford the fucking citronella, though. It's just
yeah.
The torch.
Yes. I don't have a candle in it. It's just the thing.
But do yourself a favor. Look up mystery. There's very few lazy eyes or black people in it because it's like BBC Productions. So it's just white folk. So.
Those were racist.
Big black cops?
I say some things, but PBS.
But PBS.
No black people anywhere near that network.
Except for Sesame Street.
Yeah, they were all and like one fucking guy, Rainbow, though, right?
Reading Rainbow, yeah, predominantly stars like LeVar Burton.
Yeah, but he was from the future.
Reading
LeVar
Rainbow.
Burton was from the future? I'm
pretty sure LeVar Burton is from right now.
The fuck are you talking about?
Star Trek.
Just because, yeah, oh. But he was in Reading Rainbow way before he was in Star Trek.
Yeah, but not.
But not what?
It's technically accurate because of the timeline.
You racist fuck.
But he's in the future. Now.
Oh man!
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
Neither do
it's
I.
So convoluted.
Anyway, it's an awesome show, and like the introduction to it, I'll probably when the episode goes live, I'll probably post the YouTube video to Facebook so that people
sure
can watch it too.
Sure, you will.
Or I'll tell what I'll do is tell you to do it. So.
Anyway.
I think that's the end of the episode right there.
I can't remember any more of the songs.
Nah, me neither.
Oh, man.
I remember the song would open up and be like that.
Oh, you don't know the song? Butterfly in the sky.
Yeah, but it had that like,
I can go twice as high.
Decent like synth music that it was back to.
Take a look. It's in a book.
Oh,
it's Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, then I can go anywhere, and then I don't remember what actually.
Yeah,
I can be anything. Anyway.
It's a good fucking show, man. I miss that show.
It was good. You know, LeVar Burton has a cool podcast, too, where he reads short stories. Like, he picks short stories that he really likes, and he narrates them.
So he essentially stole Reading Rainbow.
He owns Reading Rainbow.
No, yeah.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's like his show.
He tried to overcharge the shit out of it to elementary schools for a while, but I don't think that caught on.
With the podcast that he does, I think it's called LeVar Burton Reads, if I remember right. He like specifically said, I want this to kind of be like the Reading Rainbow for adults. So it's pretty fun.
I don't have enough time for him in my life.
A few of the stories have been really good. So I haven't listened to all of them.
I just don't have time.
Speaking of sounding like Gabe, this is Gabe
Doyle.
Oh, you're not gonna fucking.
I'm getting there.
Juan, why did this?
This has been
weird.
Episode 81 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I'm gonna sign off like this in the hopes that I get interrupted less.
Yeah, no, I doubt it.
That's already a fail.
We need our name at the end.
Okay,
not at the
fine.
Of the end.
Fuck you guys. Anyway, so you've been listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. There are several different ways that you can visit us. You can go to www.totlb.com to learn about all of them. But you can also go there to read articles by Doyle and John and sometimes Juan and hopefully me soon. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox.
He was waiting for the interruption.
I was waiting for the interruption.
I had to stretch.
You can go to Instagram or Twitter at @outsidelongbox. You can send us an email at outsidethelongbox@gmail.com. You can give us a phone call, which we have sorely missed your phone calls.
Yeah, but Blackshire said he was going to send some more here pretty soon.
What happened to Michael Kirk? Oh, he's dead. He's dead. Can get a hold of him at... On the Michael Kirk
hold of him.
Ghost Memorial
Ooh, the ghost
Hotline.
Hold of his
I might have to record
shit.
A new message where I'm like, this is a ghost of Michael Kirk. 970-573-6148. We love getting your voicemails. They're probably one of the funniest things that we experience week to week. Yeah. So
fuck the lamp show.
Go to the hero initiative.com.
The lamp.
They've given away more than $1 million worth of support to artists and creators who need it. So,
and the heroinitiative.com
is... The heroin initiative?
No, not the heroin
they
initiative.
Really yeah. Fix that
the
branding.
The hero initiative.
Yeah.
Go to heroinitiative.com because we will be donating the proceeds to the upcoming Aquaman versus Namor, which semen will survive event.
I didn't want to pitch it to them like that.
Yeah,
but
that's how we're going to talk about it on the show. But at the actual event, we'll be clean because you put in the press release this is a family friendly event. Yeah. And when I read that, I was like, "What the fuck you mean this is a family friendly event?"
Well, we want people to bring their kids.
Is there a press release?
Yeah,
there's a press release.
Do you really want people to bring their kids?
Yeah, yes. We do.
Because it's for charity. It's for charity.
It's for charity. We're trying to raise as much money as possible for the Hero Initiative.
Well, people's kids have less money, but all right.
Yeah, but we don't care about how much money they have overall. We care about how many tickets they buy.
Yeah. So we need to help.
We don't care.
We need to help creators.
We're working
on it.
That's the next step.
That's why I did the press release, so that we could chop it around to different locations.
And that's why we gave ourselves till October to pull this shit together. So
challenge John to a pool race.
See what happens.
I think it's going to be one race, one stomach competition, and one brain competition. I think is how it's going to break down.
I think
down.
So too.
That's all right.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have
a
lot
gotta
of fun.
Give you, we got to give you some bit of a chance to win, though.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if John can power eat me out.
Power eat you out?
Yeah, he might eat you out. He might be able to eat you out. That's true. That is true, 100%.
My asshole is so clean.
Spam so fast today.
In our next semen competition.
Oh, turn your heads away, children.
This part's not family friendly.
It's about to get real as fuck in here.
Manhunter.
So be sure. So be sure to go check out heroinitiative.com. Lend them your support. They help comic book artists and writers that have fallen on like really serious times. Yeah. So
$1 million. They
a
help
million
the,
dollars.
They, it's sad because I read their success stories that they have, and it's sad because there's been people who have passed away.
Have passed away.
But they helped them the whole way until they had passed. It's good. Good.
It's
for
a,
them.
It's a good organization. Right. It's really awesome. So go support them. And when you're done supporting them, come support us by going to amazon.totlb.com. It takes you a regular Amazon search page where you can look up you know, whatever it is that you want to buy on Amazon, we get a little bit of a kickback. It doesn't affect the price for you, and it doesn't affect how Amazon works for you at all. Or you can go to patreon.com/TOTLB, which has many different tiers, which you can donate to.
Am I the longest running guest that has not committed to Patreon at all?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Because I think even Dom and
Matt. He did
Dom
for a little Matt, bit.
Yeah.
I don't know where Matt and Marika went. They just, like, dropped off the face of the earth.
I don't even know if they listen.
Matt's busy hating things.
And I'm going.
Is doing whatever Marika does.
I'm gonna go see Sleep on June 11th with Matt in Denver. So
I don't know what that means.
I'm gonna go watch a heavy metal band.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
There
yeah, there you
That's
go.
Better.
They sound like this. Dun, dun, dun.
That's 100% accurate. Dun, that is exactly how they sound.
Dun, that sounds horrible.
Dun, dun.
It's awesome. It's like one of my favorite kinds of music.
Dave's gonna fucking rock the shit out.
I'm gonna be so weeded.
I feel like he just dropped off the face of the earth. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, some people do that.
They can't
it's weird.
Come to grips with the fact that Prometheus is
right.
That hard.
Maybe, right. Maybe that's the line that needed to be cast out to reel him back in. It hasn't been spoken about in a while.
One day he just snapped. He's like, I can't take it anymore.
He's literally sitting up in bed like, they're talking about Prometheus.
Maybe I'll join Patreon and make that a fucking popcorn.
Oh classic. My God, that would be amazing.
I don't
just
want to say
get
that.
Him on with
I'd watch the fuck out of it again.
Oh, man.
I'm here for one month only.
But for sure, go to patreon.com/TOTLB. Join us in this. You can get videos, like exclusive videos, and... Do we call them gifts, prizes? I don't know what we call them.
Whatever. People get stuff.
You get stuff. You get shirts. You get a chance to interact with the show a little bit more.
You get shirts. You get hats. We have stickers.
You might get an unpaid
make a
commission
choice.
From me.
You get a commission that I'm not going to fulfill.
We definitely have artwork that goes out.
It's like, fucking cool. I hope Ryan... That's the thing is I don't know Ryan, so I hope he likes everything that he's been given so far. So.
It's funny because we asked Ryan...
Ryan Roth, he's a... Patreon supporter.
He's at the tier where he gets art every 6 months.
It's
original
cool.
art.
That's
that honestly
cool.
is one of the coolest tiers, I think.
It's really cool, and it gives us the opportunity to speak with people too while they're doing art. It's cool.
What's fun about it is, so he went into that tier, and we were getting ready to go to Colorado Springs Comic Con. We wanted to commission his first thing, so we asked him, hey, what comic book characters do you like? Like, what do you want drawn? He's like, yeah, whatever. It's like, what? What
know,
do you mean, whatever?
You know what's even funnier?
So many different things.
Yeah.
We were at Hall of Justice, and we're talking about this, and I'm like, damn, you should do it. And there's ideas going, and there's some cool, like, Pokemon fucking Spider-Man ideas going, you know, that are going to – he's like, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then we get this pure Spider-Man thing, and I was like, oh, that's not anything about what we spoke about.
Because I have another Pokemon commission, and I was like, I don't want to burn myself out looking at fucking anime characters.
But yeah, he
it was good though.
So
it
he's gotten
good.
A Tim Husky and a Jim Mafood
yes.
so far.
So we're gonna commission something probably from Denver or Colorado.
You can go ahead and throw away that Jim Mafood one. It's not gonna be worth anything.
Ooh.
You
can
hold on to mine. Wow.
I feel like in a fight,
hardly
Jim Mafood
true.
Would beat your ass.
I didn't know Kevin Smith was talking about how he helped him with a movie or one of his comic books or something like that. I had no idea. It was pretty cool.
Very fucking.
It's pretty cool.
Jim Mafood does it.
Never mind.
What?
Never mind. What? I don't want to talk about it. Go ahead.
He didn't want to talk about it. So with that, let's say this has been episode 81 of Thinking Outside the Long Box. I guess I'll end it the way Juan always wants it to end. I'm Gabe.
I'm Gabe. I'm Doyle.
I'm Tim.
I'm Juan. I could be Gabe, I guess.
Let's all be Gabe.
I'm Gabe.
I'm Gabe.
Who?
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barren Space production.